Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Board members, I will now call to order our Wednesday, November 12th public hearing. We do have several items before us this evening, board members. Before we get into it, I just want to remind everybody that tonight is Ron Brown's last night with us as acting county attorney, and I know he's very happy about that. Yes. And on the 17th, Mr. Rogers will be officially aboard, and we look forward to having his first meeting with us on December 3rd at our business meeting in December. Ladies and gentlemen, for those who wish to speak before us this evening on the agenda items, you will have be given 2 minutes to do so before the board. We will call your name, and please come on up. And for the public record, if you would state your name when you start speaking, would be certainly appreciated. The order will be as follows. When we call the item up that is on the agenda for the public hearing, staff will either give a brief update to their item. Following that, where applicable, the applicant will be given up to 10 minutes to present their application to the board. And then following either staff or an applicant, then we will open it up to you, the members of the public who have signed up to speak on the items that are on the agenda this evening. The first item that we have is nonprofit organizations request for property tax exemption by designation. We have 20 different entities that the board has forwarded for public hearing this evening. They are the Ark of Loudoun, the Archaeological Conservancy, Birthright of Loudoun County, Boulder Crest Retreat Foundation, Christian Services Charities, Inc., Independent Center of Northern Virginia, Inc., Equine Rescue League Foundation, Home School Foundation, Integrated Justice Information Systems Institute, Inc., the Journey Through Hallowed Ground Partnership, Landmark Legal Foundation, Loudoun Cares, Loudoun Community Health Center, Loudoun Habitat for Humanity, Loudoun Therapeutic Writing Foundation, Inc., Margaret Paxton Memorial for Convalescent Children, Northern Virginia Dental Clinic, Inc., the Sterling Playmakers, the Unison Preservation Society, Inc., and last but not least, Virginia Rides. And so, Mr. Wartz, do you have anything you wanted to address in your report?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to comment that if you were reading the list of names from the board's agenda, unfortunately, it did not include Between the Hills Community Association, Inc., which also is included in the item, but for some reason it is not listed in the agenda, but it should have been listed in there.
Okay, but it's in our
It is in the item. Okay. It is in the packet, but it's not listed in the agenda.
Very good. And then the question came up. You have a critical action date on your report of November 12th, which is this evening. And there has been some discussion up here about whether or not we have time, if we needed to send it to December 3rd's business meeting.
You could send it to December 3rd's business meeting and suspend the rules and adopt it at that time. The ordinance has to be adopted by the end of the calendar year.
Okay. All right. Any questions at this time for Mr. Wartz? All right. Seeing none. We have one speaker. Have we had anybody sign up, Amanda, for item number one? Okay. Carol Jameson.
Good evening, Chairman York and members of the board. My name is Carol Jameson, and I am the CEO of HealthWorks for Northern Virginia, formerly known as the Loudoun Community Health Center. On behalf of the HealthWorks organization, our board of directors, and the community we serve, we thank you for your consideration of granting our organization an exemption from our property tax obligation. Our mission is to provide high-quality, comprehensive health care, regardless of age or ability to pay, with a primary focus upon those who lack access to healthcare services. We built and moved into our new Leesburg facility in 2012 to achieve increased capacity to meet this mission, and we have done just that, now providing care to 10,434 Loudoun residents, an increase of 3,184 Loudoun residents from the year before we moved. I want to just give a moment to talk about one of the services that we provide in that building, dental care. Our comprehensive dental program within the Leesburg Center is the only program in Loudoun County providing comprehensive dental care, including endodontics, we call them root canals, and dentures to anyone of any age, regardless of ability to pay or insurance status, that is co-located with primary care in an integrated way with one medical record. And along with the Loudoun Health Department, we are the only program providing dental care for children up to age 19. Last year, we provided nearly 4,800 dental visits, one-third of them to children. Our exemption from the property tax will enable us to repurpose these funds towards providing much-needed dental care, as well as comprehensive care and behavioral health services to those in need in our community. And again, we thank you for your consideration of this.
All right, very good. Thank you, Ms. Jamison. Ms. Jamison, board members, was the only member of the public signed up on this. So I'm going to go ahead and move that the Board of Supervisors forward the nonprofit organization's request for personal, for property tax exemption by designation item to the December 3rd, 2014 Board of Supervisors business meeting for action. Second. Motion has been made, seconded by Supervisor Vona. Mr. Reed.
Yes, I would like to know if we can ask staff to come back and give us some more detail from the Landmark Legal Foundation. I looked at their application, and they don't seem to address any kind of Loudoun County focus. I was concerned about some others, too, but it looks like that they do help some of our local nonprofits, if that would be okay.
All right, a request, Mr. Wirtz, from Mr. Reed, is if you can come back and give a more detailed explanation on Landmark Legal Foundation.
Or if you can get some explanation from them on how they service the county.
I'll be happy to inquire of the applicant more details.
Very good. Any other discussion? Yes, Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, to that issue, I don't have a problem with offering tax exemption to organizations like the one that was just spoken about that provides a service to the county. I do have a concern about opening this up to anybody that happens to have a tax-exempt status. I work for a nonprofit organization, and, you know, if we moved to Loudoun County, which would be great, but we would not presume to pursue tax-exempt status just because we are tax-exempt from property taxes. So if it's possible, I would like to have it confirmed to us that these different organizations do provide services here in Loudoun County, that, in fact, if they get deferred taxes or if they get a tax exemption, that they would be pumping that money back into the county and the county residents. Thank you.
Mr. Bona.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Higgins, we just for your knowledge, we've done that exercise twice. This was vetted in the Finance Committee twice, and we did remove at least one organization that provided little benefit to Loudoun citizens, but we did scrub this list. And I will also point out that there is a cap on the total amount of money that we will potentially designate for exemption. We are below the cap. These 20 organizations only add up to $239,000. I don't want to say only, but that's much smaller than we thought it was going to be. And I'll also point out that four of the 20 organizations, Boulder Crest, Independence, Loudoun Cares, and HealthWorks, constitute over 80% of that $239,000. So some of these are very small. Some are as small as about $135. So out of the 20, there are four. We know those four provide great benefit to us. It's $239,000. And we did do that vetting twice in the Finance Committee. Thank you.
All right. Any others at this time? Mr. Delgadio.
Thank you. And I voted no when it was, some board vote we had on there, and I voiced my objection to the Howard Hughes Institute getting $3.5 million in tax exemption. You hear that from me frequently. I do attend the Finance Committee meetings, so I know that you're working very hard and you're doing the best you can. And the problem is once you open the door, you know, and you had a board, previous board, that put a moratorium. Simple. Now, $239,000 is a lot of money, and once the door is open, the door is open. And for me, I'm not voting no to the Landmark Legal Foundation. I'm not voting no to the Equines Society. I'm not voting no to the Sterling Playmakers. I'm voting no because I really want that moratorium to continue until we have a better financial condition in this county for everybody. I want the ability to keep the taxes low. And so it's not my money. $239,000, it's not my money. If I'm going to be consistent and I'm going to be critical of the $3.5 million going to Howard Hughes Institute just because they have $10 billion in the bank, they have $10 billion in their bank. I can't explain that to the average taxpayer in Sterling. I mean, they got $10 billion in reserve. They've got these fantastic operations going on, but we're going to give them a $3.5 million tax exemption. You know, so I understand the board balances this out. I'm just explaining my no vote, that it's not against any of these particular groups, but how do I go after Howard Hughes Institute with my criticism and be consistent and know that there's a better policy in place? The better policy was the moratorium that was in there for years. Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion? Board members, I'll be supportive of this list when it does come forward for final action on December 3rd. I think these entities have shown that they provide a service to Loudoun County, and there's where my judgment is on this. This is not about Howard Hughes. This is about these 21 entities that are here and have applied for this, and particularly for most all of them, they provide a significant benefit, and whereas if we as a county had to pick that up, would probably pay a whole lot more money in providing those services than some of these folks do in providing the services that they do. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? All right, that motion will carry 7-1-1. Mr. Delgadio opposed, and Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Our next item is item number 2, proposed sale of county-owned affordable dwelling unit, ADU property. All right, ladies, anything to add to your report?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. Are there any questions, board members? All right, I'm showing we have no members of the public signed up on this, and this is in the Dulles District. So, Mr. Williams, you want to go ahead and do the motion on this tonight?
I'll be happy to step in there for Dulles. I move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Bona. Discussion on suspension. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Mr. Williams.
Sure. Chairman, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the sale to a qualified ADU certificate holder of the county-owned affordable dwelling unit located at the following address: 25345 Curiosity Square, Aldi, Virginia, 20105. The sale shall be contingent upon the receipt of a contract from the purchaser as acceptable in form to the county attorney. I further move that the chairman, the vice chairman, the county administrator, or his duly authorized designee be authorized to sign the deed to the purchasers. Said deed shall be approved as to legal form by the county attorney, who shall be authorized to execute all necessary collateral documents at settlement.
Motion has been made for approval, seconded by Supervisor Bona. Discussion on the motion.
Only comment I have, Chairman, staff recommends that the Board of Supervisors approve the sale of this county-owned ADU located at this address to a qualified ADU certificate holder. Staff's recommending approval. I think we should suspend and get it taken care of tonight.
All right, very good. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will also carry 8-0-1 with Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Our next item is item number 3, proposed ordinance to approve a voluntary settlement of boundary issues between the town of Herndon and the county of Loudoun. And Mr. Brown, this is coming from you tonight. Do you have anything to add to your report?
I don't think so. Laurie Sigler of our office is presenting it, and Richard Kaufman from the town of Herndon is also here to speak to you and to answer any questions.
All right, and welcome any questions for the attorneys, board members? All right. Seeing none, and we have no members of the public signed up to speak on this. Mr. Williams, I'll turn it over to you for
Thank
a motion.
You. Thank you, Chairman. I move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion for suspension has been made, seconded by Supervisor Bonat. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Mr. Williams.
Chairman, I move that the Board of Supervisors adopt the ordinance as set forth in Attachment 2 to the November 12, 2014 Board of Supervisors Public Hearing Staff Report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Williams.
Just a real quick overview. I know this boundary issue has been something we worked in with the former mayor and the current mayor, and just squaring away some of these boundary issues. We've worked with Ron and actually worked with Jack Roberts quite a bit on this. Staff recommends that the Board of Supervisors does adopt the ordinance approving the agreement and authorizing the county attorney to petition the Circuit Court of Loudoun County for an order affirming and validating the agreement and establishing the rights of each locality as set forth in the terms of the agreement. And I would appreciate my colleagues, again, getting this long overdue boundary issue squared away with the town of Herndon. It does not take away any of our taxable land, and actually it's more of a technical fix than anything that got caught up, I think, in some other issues. But finally, we can get it squared away. I want to thank Mr. Kaufman for his effort on this as well.
All right, further discussion? Mr. Delgadio.
I know we've put this on the record previously, but this is a historic agreement between us and another town, which is we basically, if my understanding in lay terms, was we took part of Herndon and made it part of Loudoun. Was that the technical?
We tried to get more.
So I'm honored to be. I know we've had a state of warfare at one point, and then we had a state of peace declared, and now I guess we're still at peace, right, because we're across the table and we're agreeing to something. So it's peace is better than war. And welcome Herndon to Loudoun County.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1 with Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Thank you, folks, for getting this work out. And Mr. Coffin, please give our best to the council. You're welcome. All right, board members, item number 4. Is our Board of Supervisors proposed legislative program for the 2015 General Assembly session. And John, do you have anything to add to the report?
Nothing to add to the report, sir.
Okay, very good. Are there any questions of John at this time? Okay, we do have one member of the public that signed up to speak on this, Brian Falls. Welcome, Mr. Falls.
Good evening, Chairman York, members of the board. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening to speak on this. I am Brian Falls. I am the Government Affairs Manager of the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce. I really rise tonight to offer the Chamber's commendation for the Board of Supervisors putting together a very well-thought-out legislative program for the 2015 General Assembly session. The Chamber is particularly pleased at the Board's continuing strong emphasis on primary and secondary road construction. Untangling our roads is so critically important to Loudoun County's long-term economic vibrancy and our overall quality of life. Many of the projects that you've identified in your program are projects the Chamber strongly supports, such as Loudoun County Parkway improvements, Belmont Ridge Road, Waxpool Road, and others. We were pleased to add our voice to the voice of the board and other elected officials last month before the Commonwealth Transportation Board, urging them not to delay funding on a number of those critical projects here in Loudoun County. I would be remiss if I also did not thank the board for your continuing strong commitment to the Bi-County Parkway, a vitally needed road that the Chamber strongly supports. Beyond transportation, there are a number of other issues in the program where the positions of the board and the positions of the Chamber align very well. I want to thank County Administrator Hemstreet and Assistant County Administrator Sandy for meeting with myself, our President Tony Howard, and our Policy Chair Mindy Carlin. About a week or so ago to walk us through the program and help us understand the board's thinking on a number of issues. We won't always agree on positions, but in the balance, we agree more than we disagree, and we look forward to working with your representative in Richmond to advance those issues come January. And in closing, I just wanted to let you know that the Chamber is in the process of finalizing our own public policy positions for 2015, and once our Board of Directors approves that document, we will be happy to share it with the board and our other elected officials and answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Falls. Ms. Falls was our only speaker on this item. Board members, I'm going to go ahead and move suspension of the rules.
Second.
Motion has been made for suspension, seconded by Vice Chair Williams. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. I move that the Board of Supervisors adopt the 2015 legislative program as found in the attachment with any technical changes required by staff.
Second.
A motion has been made, seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion. Mr. Reed, your light's
on. Thank you. This is a very good legislative agenda. Again, for the third year in a row, my colleagues and the staff have come up with some things that I think our legislators should introduce. There's some good bills here. The item that I have on traffic lights was not put in there because it's really a direction to staff. Is that right, Mr. Standy? So we're not going to there's no legislation necessarily, although I would like our delegates and senators, if they're listening, to at least look at that and all sorts of VDOT requirements, which I think are very burdensome and slow down a lot of our transportation projects. I, for one, am going to be watching our delegates and senators like a hawk on this. I would be very disappointed if some of our delegates and senators did not even come, if they can't come to our dinner or our luncheon, that's fine, but to not communicate with us and to not, you know, have a back and forth and to look at these ideas and try to introduce them, I think would, to not introduce them or at least make an attempt, I think would be sad. So I hope that they will do that. And I am very happy that we had a very nice process this year. And I want to thank you, John. I want to thank Hefty and Wiley for also being great professionals in helping us with this. Thank you.
Mr. Bona?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Sandy, do we have patrons for these new positions?
We'll be looking at patrons starting tomorrow. So I think that those conversations are already starting. So I know Hefty and Wiley have talked to a couple of our delegation members, and we're going to try to provide equal opportunity also.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a great success rate the past few years. Matter of fact, 2 years ago, I think we were 100%. We got 100% of what the legislation we wanted. The one that I'm particularly interested in, Supervisor Letourneau brought this up, is the reviewing the local government allocations on the as a result of the Personal Property Tax Relief Act. Growing jurisdictions like Loudoun have suffered immensely. It's essentially the car tax relief, but because we're capped at a dollar amount, it doesn't go up as our population grows. And this is one that I don't know is going to get statewide support around the Commonwealth, but the fact is it's crushing Loudoun, and we're not the only jurisdiction in that boat. So I think we need to try to talk to those other jurisdictions like Prince William, like Stafford, and some of those that are affected, try to build their support out of their delegations as well. Thank you.
Further discussion, just to conclude, John, when we get into preparation of our packet for December 3rd, see if we can get a copy of the legislative program for the schools, and so we can kind of do a comparison of ours versus theirs. I know that Ms. Letourneau had sent you one particular item of concern that he would like to discuss, which I'm certain the board would like to discuss at the next meeting.
Sure.
All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Thank you, John. Ordinance, item number 5 is ordinance to change the designation of the Loudoun County Community Services Board from administrative policy to policy advisory board. And Mr. Wilson, do you have anything to add to your report?
No.
I think it's pretty simple. Are there any questions at this time, board members, for staff? All right. Seeing none, we have no members of the public that signed up to speak on this. So I'll move that the board suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion has been made, seconded by the vice chair. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Board members, I'll move that the Board of Supervisors adopt the ordinance to change the designation of the Loudoun County Community Services Board from Administrative Policy to Policy Advisory Board as set forth in Attachment 1 to the staff report of the November 12, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing. And I further move the Board of Supervisors authorize and direct the codifier as part of the annual update incorporating new and revised ordinances into the codified ordinances of Loudoun County to rename Chapter 248 to reflect the current name of the Department of Mental Health, Substance Abuse, and Developmental Services, replacing the name Department of Mental Health and Mental Retardation. Motion has been made and seconded by the Vice Chair. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 801. Thank you, sir. All right. Our next item is request for withdrawal of land belonging to Ellen Pulushik from the New Hillsboro Agricultural and Forestal District. And neither of you look like Ms. Bowles, so Miguel, are you taking this?
Yeah. I am, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have anything to add to your report?
I do not have anything else to add to the report.
All right, very good. Any questions at this time of staff? Seeing none, and we have no members of the public signed up to speak on this. This is in the Blue Ridge District, so Ms. Clark, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Seeing that I've not received any information contrary to what the report is for being in support of this item, I move the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Motion has been made for suspension and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 801. Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Ms. Clark.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the request to withdraw 3.0 acres from the New Hillsboro Agricultural and Forestal District as shown on Attachment 5 to the staff report for the November 12, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing entitled Request for Withdrawal of Land from the New Hillsboro AFD prior to the review of the district and dated July 8, 2014 and based on the findings of the request to withdraw said land from the district is good for good and reasonable cause.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion, Ms. Clark.
No, sir. This is one that pretty much all seem to be in agreement in terms of staff and ADAC and so on and so forth for removal.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 801 with Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Our next item is item number 7, which is a request for withdrawal of lands belonging to Birch Street LLC from the new Mount Gilead Agricultural and Forestal District prior to the review of the district. And I believe there is a blue sheet everybody should have, which has the revised draft motions for you on this. Do you have anything, gentlemen, to add to your staff report?
Nothing additional to add, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good. We also have no members of the public signed up to speak on this, so this is in the Blue Ridge as well. Ms. Clark.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the same reasons, I move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
All right, motion for suspension has been made, seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 801. Ms. Clark.
Yes, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the request to withdraw a 20.85-acre parcel of land and a 20.69-acre parcel of land from the new Mount Gilead Agricultural and Forestal District as shown on Attachment 5 to the staff report for the November 12, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing entitled Request for Withdrawal of Land from the new Mount Gilead AFD prior to the review of the district and dated July 8, 2014 and based on the finding that the request to withdraw said land from the district is for good and reasonable cause.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion? Ms. Clark, no opening? Okay. Any other discussion? Mr. Bona.
Yes, just briefly. I believe people should be able to do within reason what they want to do with their property, and if they want to pull it out of the program, they can pull it out of the program. But the program is set up that in order to pull out before the renewal, and typically the renewal is 10 years in this district, there's supposed to be good and reasonable cause. And in this, unlike the last item, they were pulling out because they wanted to segregate 3 acres for their home so that they could divest the other 17 acres. In this case, the applicant's purpose of the withdrawal is because he regrets his decision to enroll in the first place and that he never received the notice in the mail when it came up for the automatic renewal. I'm not sure that's really good and reasonable cause, and I don't think that that's why you should get out of these programs once you've got into them, is because you just think you regretted what you did. But at the same time, it's a property rights issue, and I will move on and support the motion, but I hope we don't see a lot of these. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion will carry 8-0-1. Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. Thank you, gentlemen. Our next item is item number 8, minor special exception, 2014-0018, Angelica's Home Daycare, Kirkpatrick Farms. And Evan, do you have anything to add to your staff report?
I do not, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick thing. Following the publishing of your staff report, I did receive 10 support letters from the parents as well as surrounding neighbors. Just wanted to let board know.
Very good. And are you Ms. Ola? Do you have any, you're allowed up to 10 minutes to brief the board. So if you have any statement, you're more than welcome to give it.
Good evening. My name is Angelica Leah. I've been working as a daycare provider for more than 5 years, all this time holding a state license during all the time. I have a 100% positive feedback for my job, and also have a waiting list for the next year. I have two daughters. They're 8 and 10 years old. Next month, they will be 9 and 11. They're in school all day long. After school, my husband takes them to their activities the whole afternoon. Therefore, I'm completely dedicated to my job. For parking purposes, we count up to 20 parking spots right in front of our house and 2 parking spaces in our driveway. The last 5 years, we haven't had any traffic problems or any issues with our neighbors. Moreover, we have a fully support of our neighbors as well of our parents, as it shows in their letters of support. Our house has an outdoor play area of 990 square feet, which is more than the minimum 900 square feet required for 12 children. At any time, there are no more than 12 kids in the play area. Children usually goes in groups according to their ages. My business is providing an important service to our community and employment opportunities to the surrounding residential community. This business has been a very important part of our household income. And I'm here today to ask permission to keep doing what I've been doing for the last 5 years. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And board members, we have no members of the public that have signed up to speak on this. And I believe this is Dulles District, so I'll go ahead and move to suspend the rules. Motion has been made for suspension, seconded by Mr. Williams. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion will carry 7-1-1 with Mr. Delgado opposed, Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve minor special exception 2014-0018, Angelica's Home Daycare, Kirkpatrick Farm, subject to the conditions of approval dated October 22nd, 2014, and based on the findings for approval contained in the November 12, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing staff report. Motion has been made, seconded by Supervisor Williams. Discussion on the motion. I do not have any opening. Ms. Volpe.
Thank you. you know my concern with single family detached versus single family attached. I wish you and your family well, but I will not support the motion.
Understood. Ms. Clark.
Yes, I just want to thank you, the applicant, for coming out this evening and speaking. I know this is... it's time away from your home, and you'll be providing care tomorrow. We have a lot of home-based businesses that don't have to go through this process, so hopefully we'll be able to get it refined. But thank you for filling a service need in the community and for being here.
All right. Other comments? Seeing none, I'll just say ditto to what Ms. Clark said and wish you well in your business. All in favor of the motion to approve the application, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay, that motion will carry 6-2-1 with Mr. Delgadio and Ms. Volpe opposed, with Mr. Letourneau absent for the vote. All right. Very good. Our next item is item number 9, ZOAM 2014-0003, Notice of Proposed Text Amendments to Article 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8 of the revised 1993 Zoning Ordinance to establish limited brewery as a new use in certain zoning districts and establish new or revised existing regulations in regard to agricultural processing and agricultural uses. And Mark, are you taking this evening?
Yes, I am. And
all
good
right,
evening,
sir. Did you want to give a brief presentation?
Just a quick update. There are no revisions to the staff report as provided. However, the Zoning Ordinance Action Group did meet this morning to talk about the Planning Commission proposed draft, and Lou Canonico is here to update you on their discussion this morning. And as he's doing that, we also have a map that was requested that demonstrates where the zoning districts are located within the county that would be affected by the limited brewery text amendment portion.
Okay. All right. Very good. Mr. Canonico, you want to give us the update?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Lou Canonico. I'm vice chair of the Zoning Ordinance Action Group. As Mark said, we had a meeting today, this morning, specifically to, at that meeting, we reviewed the Planning Commission's recommendation of requiring zoning permit and sketch plan for this use. The ZOAG reinforced our original recommendation that limited breweries be treated the same as farm wineries, basically just add a definition and list the zoning districts that that it would be permitted in. We would request that if the board is going to give consideration to requiring a sketch plan, that it be very clear that the sketch plan is for information purposes only, and if this just goes to TLUC, we would like to have an opportunity to review the specifics of any such sketch plan at the TLUC committee meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Canonico. Any questions at this time of staff or Mr. Canonico? Ms. Clark?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had requested that the map be brought forward for a specific purpose. I had mentioned concern about some of the zoning districts and existing residential development, particularly the A3. I mean, I could name on both hands a number of residential communities that have HOAs, one home per 3 acres. And so while the map that's there is helpful in terms of for the board to understand the general zoning districts, that's not exactly what I was looking for. I have a concern because really if you look at the majority of the zoning districts, particularly with the clustering, there are a lot of residential developments, even similar to the A3 with respect to rural hamlet and this and that. And I think, you know, of course, I am a staunch supporter of us getting the zoning ordinance amendment in place, but I foresee a number of issues with making this broadly open for breweries in these residential communities. So I haven't seen any language in the packet itself. Maybe you can point it out because it's a comprehensive packet. There's a lot of pages in there, but I haven't seen any language that would protect those communities from having bathtub breweries, you know, next door to them in their in their residential community. So is there something in there that I'm missing?
Yes. Well, the staff is recommending additional regulations to be associated with the breweries to protect neighbors, but there will be circumstances, small lot sizes, that we do not get specifically removing them from the ability to open up a limited brewery. They could still, by state licensing, obtain a limited brewery license. If there were additional regulations, they would be subject to those additional regulations, which may affect or keep an operation from locating. But then again, I'm not sure if that would go against the state licensing and state regulations. But shortly, no, we do not provide any information or any restrictive districts.
Okay. Do we have the ability? I have 26 seconds. Do we have the ability? I mean, there are even developments right outside Leesburg there, down Evergreen Mill Road, like Red Cedar and Granada and things that all fall into these zoning districts. I mean, these are high-end residential communities, estates, people that, you know, and they have HOAs, and I don't think they're expecting to have breweries next door to them.
And that would be exclusionary zoning. I would think that would not be appropriate or permitted. That they, if you're agriculturally zoned and have farming operation in some aspect that's being used in the limited brewery processing, you would be able to operate a limited brewery.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Delgadio.
Hi.
Hello.
I don't like what I just heard, but it may be the law. In other words, you're saying we can't prohibit breweries in three-acre lots in Western Loudoun if we have these particular settings?
As it stands today, no. As the draft text is before you tonight, no.
But if we go to land use, we might come up with some language. The chairman might be generous enough to...
Well, if you take out A3, if you want to take A3 out of this proposal,
yes.
Then yes. But if the way it stands right now, these zoning districts are the zoning districts that allow agricultural uses, and as per the state regulations, they would be allowed under this provisions.
And through the chair, can I direct ask a question of the guest?
Please, Mr. Canonico.
Thank you. You have no objection to us not allowing breweries at 3 acres, not lots, right?
Quite honestly, I'm not sure I can answer that question. To the extent that A3 allows other agricultural uses, I continue to... The ZOAG was pretty clear that we did not see a need to treat this use any differently than a farm winery use. If farm wineries are allowed in A3, I think we would question why restrict limited breweries in A3.
I got it. And so back to staff, Mr. Chairman, with your deference, I've got a minute here. So do we have a prohibition against, in this area, Western Loudoun, do we prohibit wineries in 3-acre lots?
No.
No. So, okay. So we'd have to have a rationale in the Land Use Committee. I know the chairman of the Land Use Committee is chomping at the bit. I will stop right there. I think I just wanted to follow up on that. Thank you.
Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I attended the ZOAG meeting this morning. Have already had a discussion with Kelly Bowles from the Economic Development Office. Even discussed this with Supervisor Higgins' aide. It's best, basically, there are three basic issues, and it needs to go to TLUC to discuss in current draft form. And page 225 and 226 of the iPad is the actual specific language that needs to be discussed regarding this approval process, the sketch plan, and what would be necessary to be in that sketch plan. If any type of, you know, differences are shown between the wineries and breweries, and how would that be, you know, rectified. And there's even an item in here which hasn't even been discussed this evening, which I agree with the Zoning Ordinance Action Group needs to be removed, that we should not put in the zoning ordinance that there have to be legal agreements for any joint easements, access easements. Say if you share a road with a neighbor, because the county's not going to maintain this list. That's a private agreement between two landowners. So that item needs to be addressed. So with that, I move that we forward.
Excuse me, we haven't even had public comment.
Sorry, yet. I apologize. You're right.
Just in questions of staff right now. Folks.
Okay. Well, with that, I hope following public input I can make a motion to send this to TLUC. Thank you.
I'm sure somebody will make a motion afterwards. I would just request that this map get revised, and I would like the A3 in a completely different color.
Yes.
It shows up better here, but on this one, all bleed together, and it's hard to tell what's A3 and what's not. So change it to red, change it to blue. I don't care. Just don't make it green.
Okay.
So, well, that works too. All right. Any other questions of staff at this time? All right, let's go into public comment. We have seven speakers at this time. Our first is Charlie Altman, to be followed by Andrew Painter. Staff, if I could ask you to please move the chart, it's in front of the timer.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Charlie Altman. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and many of my neighbors concerning regulations about limited breweries. I was president of the September Planning Commission public hearing for zoning requirements. I was extremely disappointed to find out that the breweries seem to have a lobby which is asking for them to be given the same rights as the wineries without the same restrictions. I have three main concerns which I'd like to speak about. Induced traffic. My road, which was one of the roads listed on Supervisor Clark's Rural Road Forum presentation, is a one-lane dirt road, which is often in bad shape and with no funding to maintain it. This road has large amounts of traffic now, of commercial traffic associated with a brewery that is already opened. Delivery trucks dropping off porta potties, limousine services with busloads of people, food trucks with big trailers, work trucks with supplies, not to mention hundreds of new cars. This road is barely adequate for residential use. The effect on access roads must be considered for approving brewery applications. Water supply. Some of these breweries are not on public water. Wells have been inspected when they're drilled for homes. When the use of a well changes, they need to be reevaluated to determine if the new use is appropriate. Water is used for every part of the brewing process. Somewhere between 5 and 6 gallons are used for each gallon of beer. The new law allows these new breweries to make up to 15,000 barrels per year. 15,000 times 32 gallons per barrel times 5 gallons of water comes out to 2.4 million gallons. That's just for brewing. That doesn't include water for cleaning. A well which was originally designed for one purpose should be reevaluated if the purpose changes this drastically. The effect of the surrounding wells could be disastrous. At the very least, limits should be placed upon the amount of water withdrawn to protect the water table. There needs farm requirements. There needs to be a requirement which ties farm breweries to local agriculture production. There are some beautiful wineries in Loudoun County, wineries on farms that grow grapes to make their product. This agricultural tourism is what the state's trying to encourage. The new state law specifies that a brewery be located on a farm in the Commonwealth.
Mr. Altman, I'm sorry, but your time is up, so I need you to yield the floor.
All right. All right. Please just don't rush to decisions when you're making these rules.
Thank you, and just to let you know, or other speakers, if your time is up and need to yield the floor, you can give your statement if you have it written out to the clerk, and they will make copies for all board members. Andrew Painter, to be followed by Anna Atkinson. Andrew Painter. Okay, board members, I think we have received a letter from him. Anna Atkinson, to be followed by Brian Falls.
My name is Anna Atkinson. My husband and I own a home on Ashbury Church Road between Percival and Hillsborough. We are grateful to learn that the Board of Supervisors are considering including limited breweries in their zoning ordinance and are hopeful that you will take into full consideration the impacts created by these types of establishments. I think having specific regulations in place will go a long way in addressing safety, security, and the welfare of Loudoun County residents and their visitors. I would hope that you, as county supervisors, agree and take this into account when deciding on limited brewery requirements. My experience with limited breweries in Loudoun County is restricted to that of an unimproved brewery located down the street from our home. If breweries are allowed in AR1 zone, then I think the county should have the authority to disapprove or approve with stipulations based on location. By reviewing a required site plan and examining various factors like proximity to neighbors, road type, and conditions, the county can make well-informed decisions. AR1 zone has a greater density of homes, so having a brewery as a neighbor has greater impact to the quality of life over areas where homes have greater distance between them. For instance, in my neighborhood, we have neighbors so close to an unapproved brewery that each weekend they are impacted by noise, crowds of people, and traffic. Another concern is with road conditions. Approval of a brewery in an area where the roads will obviously not be able to withstand the increased visitor traffic should be addressed. Placing a brewery down a narrow, unpaved county road like Ashbury Church Road creates an opportunity for disaster in so many ways. Limited breweries need safe and approved entry and exit points that allow for emergency vehicles to easily gain access. I'm worried that without a regulation to this effect, we will later be faced with big safety issues. I have other thoughts on potential regulations for breweries, which relate to special events, on-site safety, vending, groundwater, but due to time constraints here, I would ask you as the board to postpone any decision on the limited brewery amendment until you have the opportunity to talk with all interested parties who want to voice their thoughts so the final outcome is positive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Atkinson. Brian Falls to be followed by Andrew Painter, who I see now has come into the boardroom.
Good evening again, Chairman York and members of the board. For the record, my name is Brian Falls, and I am the Government Affairs Manager of the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce. First of all, let me say the Chamber is very appreciative of this ZOAM. Craft beer is already making a positive economic impact in the Commonwealth to the tune of approximately $600 million annually and growing. Loudoun County can play a leading role in this industry, much as we do a leading role in Virginia's winery industry, if we do this ZOAM right. Which is why the Chamber strongly supports the position adopted by the County Zoning Ordinance Action Group, namely that farm breweries, being similar in nature to farm wineries, should be regulated the same as the farm wineries. The proposal before the board tonight, while significantly better than the proposal that went to the Planning Commission, doesn't do that. And let me stress in the strongest possible terms that the Chamber and the Loudoun County business community would not support adding new zoning or land use regulations on the farm wineries to, quote, level the playing field. The current regime has served Loudoun's winery industry very well and made our wineries the envy of the Commonwealth. We should not tamper with that regime, but rather emulate it for the farm breweries. Excessive or inconsistent restrictions on new business development or expansion, no matter how small or inconsequential those restrictions may seem, sends a negative signal to prospective businesses considering our county as a place to locate and grow. ZOAG exhaustively examined and debated this issue over many months. It did its due diligence, and at the end of the day, it concluded that farm breweries are no different than farm wineries, a position concurred with by your Rural Economic Development Commission, your Department of Economic Development, the Loudoun Wine Growers Association, the Loudoun County Chamber, and others. We strongly support ZOAG's position. Farm wineries are a major economic success for the county. Farm breweries can be too. We should not be afraid to let that happen. Thank you for your attention and for the opportunity to express the Chamber's position on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Falls. Andrew Painter to be followed by Janelle Jirksme.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, forgive my absence. Running from the office reminds me of how woefully out of shape I am. My name is Andrew Painter with Walsh Colucci. I am speaking tonight on behalf of the Loudoun Farm Brewers Association. We are a coalition of farm brewers, property owners, and farmers that are interested and excited about investing in Loudoun County's next wave of economic development, rural tourism. I have submitted a letter for the record showing the red line differences between the farm winery statute and the limited brewery statute, which was adopted by the General Assembly this past session. And you will see that they are substantively identical in form, in substance, and they provide the same regulatory protections for both uses. And indeed, I would also say that the brewery statute represents a comprehensive restriction on a locality's ability to regulate licensed farm breweries. Now, it doesn't entirely strip a locality from controlling these, but the way that it's set up is that you have to allow farm breweries to start as an industry before you make a substantial impact determination. You can't just start out regulating the industry. You can only regulate after they're up and running, and then you have to find that they have a detrimental impact. Staff's proposed language and even the sketch plan doesn't say that there's a substantial impact, which again is required by the ordinance or by the legislation. There's been no economic analysis that's been conducted, again required by the legislation, and the proposed regulations that staff would have you approve are not reasonable. Again, there is a reasonableness test. The bottom line is that staff standards treat limited breweries as a commercial enterprise rather than an agricultural operation, which enjoy specific statutory protections, as do farm wineries. And this is clearly contrary to the intent of the General Assembly. The association supports adding limited breweries as a by right use without the imposition of a sketch plan or performance criteria in Section 5-600. I echo Mr. Falls' comments. The Chamber of Commerce is behind this. The Department of Economic Development is behind this. And ZOAG's Brewery Subcommittee, which was established just to study this issue, is behind this as well. So we support adding this as a by right use without performance criteria. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Painter. Janelle Zierksmeade to be followed by Bruce Zierksmeade.
Good evening. Hello, my name is Janelle Zierksmeade. I live in Bluemont, but have called Western Loudon home my whole life. I love beer, and I'm very excited to open Dirt Farm Brewing on our farm. Consumers want fresh and local. They want to see where their food and drink comes from, and craft beer is no different. That creates a community culture. Craft beer gives a sense of identity to a place and those who live there can take personal pride in. Loudon is growing on the appreciation of these businesses. Farm breweries will create jobs in an otherwise rural area, add to economic development activities, and will grow other industries as well. Transportation, agricultural local shops, hotels, B&Bs, gas stations, and restaurants will all benefit too. It will not require services from the county yet bring folks far and wide to do business in Loudon. I am concerned for the restrictions being imposed upon us as they could limit our use, activity, and the economic impact. It is undoubtedly clear that the bill was written to mirror the farm wineries. Both breweries and wineries are regulated the same at a federal and state level. That said, why should localities regulate breweries differently? We just want a level playing field as our farm winery counterparts. The farm brewery industry is in its infancy, but is the same scale and intensity as the wine. And as it grows, just like the wineries have, so will the benefits for the beer industry. I don't want to even fathom that the best possible use of space is more houses in the western end of our county. So we need to make this ordinance business friendly, achievable, and obtainable for landowners. We have spent a lot of time. We are already invested in our business. We are federally licensed. We just want to get our doors open. We seek your support to add the new use of a limited brewery with no additional burdens or regulations and follow the ZOAG recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Zierksmeade. Bruce Zierksmeade to be followed by Eric Zeig.
Hi, my name is Bruce Zierksmeade. We are a brewery in planning called Dirt Farm Brewing in Western Loudoun County. You just heard from my wife. I want to speak to you guys for a little bit from an agricultural standpoint. We've been farming in the county for 40 years and, you know, seen a lot of changes from when I was growing up. And so when we started farming in 93, we were growing things that we knew people wanted. And in 2003, we planted our first vines with anticipation of the wine industry. You guys know what's happened there, and right now we're growing close to 40 acres of vines as well as other fruits and vegetables. Some of the things that go into the beer process, barley, wheat, oats, corn, rice, hops, pumpkins, cucumbers, peppers, herbs, grapes, tree fruits, small fruits, even bacon. So there's lots of different items that can be raised on a farm that can be used in the process of brewing. We are growing hops with anticipation of the industry. We are growing barley in anticipation of using that in making our beer. And we just see a great opportunity for agriculture again with this brewing process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zierksmeade. Eric Zeig, be our concluding speaker on this topic.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Eric Zicht. I'm an engineer. I've been working in Loudoun County since 1986. I am a member of the Zoning Ordinance Action Group, but I'm not speaking on their behalf tonight. I'm speaking only in my own personal interest. My first question to you is, did you see anything positive about breweries in the staff report? If not, why not? Data centers and wineries seem to be the crutch on which Loudoun County's economic development program is based. It would seem that that breweries would be a welcome addition. They're small businesses, they promote tourism, and it's rural economic development. The state legislators voted the House of Delegates 97-0 in favor of this bill. The Senate was 37-1, almost unanimous, bipartisan. We now have six or more breweries waiting in the wings to open, but there's only one other community that is considering regulations to limit these breweries or to regulate them. I was most disappointed with the report from community planning. Isn't economic development part of the county plan? It's not mentioned at all in there. There's inflated allegations concerning a water crisis. Yet 15,000 barrels of beer a year is equivalent to only about 5 homes worth of water use in the same period. Even with no conservation or recycling, you only need a well that will produce 10 gallons a minute. That's not a whole lot. Yet most breweries are likely to be in the range of 200 to 500 barrels per year, not 15,000. 15,000 is a maximum. Contrast that with the water use by the towns. Purcellville uses nearly 4 million barrels per year of water. They nearly use 15,000 gallons every barrels every day. Round Hill, 2.5 million barrels. Middleburg, 2.0 million barrels.
Mr. Lovettsville. I'm sorry, but your time is up, so I need you to wrap
up. I'm sorry. Okay, similar comments concerning sewerage. We've got larger sewerage fields out there. Roads and traffic, I represent 4 different rural subdivisions that will create much more traffic than these, and they're all on dirt roads. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Zick. Mr. Zick was our concluding speaker. Ms. Volpe, a motion, please.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the board forward ZOAM 2014-0003, notice of proposed text amendments to Articles 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8 of the revised 93 zoning ordinance to establish limited brewery as a new use in certain zoning districts and establish new or revise existing regulations in regard to agricultural processing and agricultural uses to the November 21st Transportation Land Use Committee meeting.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Mr. Reed. Opening comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said when we were having discussion earlier, there are several items that need to be addressed and looked at, and of course literally have comparisons made between what are the wineries doing right now so that we aren't segregating anything. And actually one thing I did not mention from this morning, one of the things we need to confirm is that the ABC, they're supposed to be formulating some regulations. Our original indications is that they're supposed to have it done by the end of this calendar year. This will give staff time to find out if that indeed is correct, that they will have their procedures in place for the process that they basically like give you a permit, you know, as a, you know, an ABC license, you know, for these farm breweries. But I think it would be best for us to have that discussion at TLUC and go through some of these, you know, the technical language. Thank you.
Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd also like to thank ZOAG and the Planning Commission for all their work on this item, and Chairman Volpe for taking it on at TLUC. This is an important regulation we need to get correct for Loudoun County from the beginning. And having taken some time to look at it, it needs some additional work and review. I support sending it to TLUC first because of what Supervisor Volpe said. The primary regulator of these establishments is going to be the VA, Virginia ABC, and we need to hear what they have to say, and I understand they're supposed to be close. Also, in looking at the second draft text, there are some issues that are concerned to me, specifically the requirements of a voluntary sketch plan is not so voluntary at this point. SB 340, the legislation to establish breweries, farm breweries in the state, was patterned after the farm winery legislation, and it has been very successful in Loudoun County with creating wineries, and we'd like to see farm breweries done as well. Having said that, in this process, we need to be mindful of the underlying zoning and the impact on neighbors. Loudoun County's number two in the state right now for wine production, and there's no reason why we can't do something like that with these local farm breweries as well. And beverage manufacturing is generating, including wineries, $5 million in taxable sales for Loudoun County each year. So I would like to thank again Supervisor Volpe for taking this on, and I support sending it to committee, and I look forward to promulgating regulations that will be the right for everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Bona.
Yes, thank you. Just briefly, I don't view this so much as a land issue. I view it as an economic development issue. If you look at what the wine industry has done for Loudoun, I think last count we were around 45 wineries slash vineyards in the county. We bus tourists into Loudoun County every weekend. We're putting people in hotels, paying transit occupancy taxes, the sales taxes generated. I see this as a very, very good thing. That said, I do think it needs to go to a committee. I think there's some legitimate concerns. Supervisor Clark's issue with A3 I think needs to be looked at as well. I don't think doing a minimal information-only sketch plan is that big of a requirement. It's tougher to do a home daycare business in Loudoun County than it is through that sketch plan. And frankly, it's a public safety issue. I do think that our fire and rescue personnel at least need to understand what is there should they have to respond to that property. So I don't think that's an unreasonable request. But as far as all these other standards, I think they'll just bog the industry down. And I don't think the board should do that because this board has prided itself on promoting economic development. Thank you.
Mr. Reed.
I'll drink to that.
Thank you for that. Ms. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is the right move to make tonight, sending this transportation land use. There's quite a bit more to be discussed. One thing that hasn't been brought up yet tonight, it's regarding a concern that's been expressed, at least to me, about the fire code regulations. And it brought back, particularly what's in the packet, but it brought back memories of what we went through with the bed and breakfast. And what we found when we caucused afterwards with the Bed and Breakfast Guild and all those folks, with staff, Supervisor Higgins and I, all in a room, many people, is that discussion netted a much better understanding. And I think we have a similar situation with a number of items in here, and that I know that there's some language in here that is part and parcel of our standard process. But it's not, this flat document just doesn't make it clear. So if there's a way that we can clear that up in transportation and land use, that would be helpful. There are a lot of older buildings, historic buildings, and so on and so forth that are being considered for breweries, similar to the bed and breakfast, where we had the discussion about fire code regulations and age of buildings and what gets grandfathered and what would have to be done versus a new building that gets constructed, as well as our standard construction regulations with respect to building new buildings and moving dirt, why people have to come in and get a permit. So maybe there's, in terms of the sketch plan and explaining all of what's done normally are being required normally in the agricultural arena would be helpful. So the neighborhood thing does still concern me the most, particularly in the A3. And I can tell you absolutely, just based on the neighborhoods that I know, my support, my motion would be to strike A3 from approved zoning for limited breweries. It just doesn't seem to fit for me. But we'll discuss that on transportation land use.
Mr. Delgadio.
Thank you. And I remember, since I attend land use, I'm on there, and I do come there. I'm on there, and I'll be there with the two Western supervisors, Supervisor Higgins and Supervisor Clark, are members of that committee. And so I will look to them to see, since this impacts there, the whole map, is your two districts, I guess, and parts of some of our Ashburn supervisors come into that too. But it is a thinking about A3. I just had a gut reaction, and I appreciate the wake up call from Mr. Zick and Andrew Painter as well. That hey, we've got to welcome these people. We do welcome everyone, and we also have to balance this out, just as we did, as Supervisor Clark said on the record, with the bed and breakfast. We need to understand the industry. And, you know, frankly, the bed and breakfast and the wine industry and the horse industry, they have a public relations effort, and they have an outreach to the community, outreach to the citizens, explaining what their industries are about. Breweries, I think, are a little bit different. My layperson's understanding, which needs to be corrected, of course, and I need to learn, in land use, and that's what we have the opportunity, in land use, to spend a couple of hours discussing the industry, and I look forward to the learning. I did learn from Mr. Zick tonight, as always. He's always helpful, and Mr. Painter as well. And the chamber, of course, was a font of wisdom, as usual. But I will look forward to land use. Thank you.
I'll obviously support the motion to send this to land use transportation. I guess I would have to pile on with Ms. Clark with respect to A3, only particularly because of what is east of Route 15 in a few areas. And if at the time for the land use discussion, which fortunately I cannot be there. yes. Yes, I'm sure you will. No, but if the desire is for A3 to stay, somehow we need to correct the problem of A3 in the suburban districts, and it may take enacting a ZOAM to create these A3s into a different type of district. But that's for a further discussion. But be careful on that, because it will be a challenge to us. Mr. Letourneau, welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, I'm late. I just wanted to agree very strongly with what Supervisor Clark said about the, particularly with the fire code issues. You know, we had this discussion on B&Bs, and that was my primary concern there. I know that the Planning Commission spent a particular amount of time trying to get this right, and really what they came to in that area is not very stringent at all, but it was something that was fire rescue folks could live with, and also at least some positive feedback from some of the stakeholders. You know, the sketch plan is really necessary so that fire rescue knows what they're dealing with, because I said this during the B&B discussion, and I'll say it now. It takes one event to turn this entire industry upside down overnight. One event. And we know nobody wants to think about it, but if we have a mass of people at a commercial enterprise and something goes wrong and there's a fire and it turns out that the doors aren't facing the right way and no one knows what the right where the entrances are and there wasn't a smoke detector, that's going to ruin it for everybody. And we've seen this happen, mostly in urban environments and nightclubs and things like that. But when we're not careful, that's what happens. And ultimately, the regulatory body, which is us, has to answer the questions. Why weren't you guys looking at this? Why didn't you require this? So that's why this is important for us to get right. It's why the Planning Commission is looking at it, and that's why we need to make sure that it is right as we move forward with anything that we do. So I'm sure that TLUC will get into that issue as well, and I look forward to that outcome.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. Our next item is ZMAP 2013-0009, ZCPA 2013-0006, Special Exception 2013-0034, Special Exception 2013-0035, and Special Exception 2013-0044, One Loudon. And does staff have anything to add to their report?
I do have a couple of updates to communicate this evening. The county attorney's office has completed their review of the proffer statement, concept development plan, and conditions of approval. The applicant has accepted the county attorney's comments in the proffer statement has provided a signed copy to staff this evening, and they've agreed to the conditions of approval. Revised copies of these documents were included in the green supplemental packet provided to you earlier this evening. Staff notes one correction in the staff report. At the October 7th, 2014 Planning Commission work session, the Planning Commission voted 7-1-1, with Commissioner Siska abstaining from the vote and Commissioner Clampshire absent. Staff continues to have one outstanding issue regarding the elimination of the proffered phasing plan for One Loudoun. Staff is recommending that the board forward this application to a future Transportation and Land Use Committee meeting for further discussion of the phasing commitments. In regards to questions raised at the November 5th land use application briefing to the board, staff notes that the applicant will speak to pending office and commercial leasing, and staff notes the following in regards to development phasing in regards to the school district. The Loudoun County School Board projects approximately 242 new pupils when the final 632 units for One Loudoun are built. This translates to an annual operating cost of nearly $2.9 million. Riverside High School will alleviate some of the gain in the students, and that is opening in fall of 2015, and stress or overcrowding at the Broadway High School won't be alleviated until 2017 or 2018, even with the addition of Riverside in 2015. And those are my updates.
All right, very good. Thank you. Any questions of staff? All right, seeing none, does the applicant or representative have a presentation?
I'm going to shock the board this evening. I do have a presentation, but happy to not give it and unless there are specific questions, and be ready to answer any questions from the board.
Are there any questions for the applicant, given the fact that they've given us back 10 minutes? Mr. Williams.
Well, sure. And so I guess my first question is for the applicant. Where are we with the interchange and the construction timeline for that? And then what I prefer for the public's purposes, Ashburn Village Boulevard is an interchange going on Route 7. It's been getting kicked around for quite some time, and just looking for an update on when we might be able to start that.
Thank you, Supervisor Williams. I'm happy to report tonight that the interchange plans have been approved by Loudoun County, Building and Development, VDOT, and Loudoun Water. The last issue is the bond estimates that are being reviewed by county staff now. Just got an update on that this afternoon. So we are approved. what happens next is the right-of-way and easement acquisition that's being conducted by Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, and they've told us to expect that process to take approximately 6 months. So we believe that we will be under construction sometime in the spring of next year, 2015.
Good report. Thank you, sir. I want to ask staff a question. How much commercial class A office development has taken place in the county over the last 2 years? And you could ballpark it for me. And what I'm getting to, and I'm running out of time, and I've got two more questions I'm trying to get out. How much of the development has gone at One Loudoun?
I don't think we can answer the question.
I can answer one part of it. 100% of the Class A office development in 2012 was delivered at One Loudoun, all of it.
Okay. There's also going to be a concern, and you might hear from my colleagues, applicant, about the report we just got about the school capacity. And knowing that Riverside will alleviate some of the capacity, there's still some concerns. The timeline of 2017-2018 in your units will go up prior to that, causing us a capacity issue. Can you address that?
I'm happy to say again, when One Loudoun was originally entitled in January of 2007, the proffers were written in such a way that we were under a very tight timeline to deliver the elementary school site for what is now Stuart Weller Elementary. We were able to accomplish that by November of 2007. So within the same calendar year, we had done the engineering and the subdivision work necessary to create that site. Schools built the building and the facility and had it open and operating for kids beginning in August of 2008. So they were in their fifth year of operation before there was a house in One Loudoun.
My time's up, but I want to get to the capacity issue. Appreciate you moving store Weller, but somebody else will hit it.
Ms. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think a lot of these questions probably lead to the capacity issue. I mean, it all ends up being a timing. So you already have an approved application for a certain number of residential units, correct? And what is that total number of residential units?
Total number of residential units is 1,040. 439 are under contract. Phase one is 450. So the remainder of the number of units still yet to be delivered is about 590.
Okay.
And so that includes the ADUs as well.
Okay. So out of those 590 units, that's what comprises the segment of phasing that you're asking to be moved up, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Are you asking for them to be moved up in totality to current day?
We would like the opportunity. I will say that the vast majority of the 590, more than 400 of those, are multifamily units. So the size of the units goes down from what is entitled today. We're not asking, as
okay,
you know,
so I'm going to stop you there, and excuse me if it appears I'm rude, but, you know, we're on a clock, so I need certain answers. So out of the 590 units, I mean, I have certain developments that are bringing on approximately 400 units per year, just one individual development. So if you're doing well selling the residential units, which it seems like you are, that's why you're asking for this phasing to be moved up, then it's conceivable, in my opinion, that in 1 year you could bring on at least 400 of those 590 units in terms of construction and bringing students in.
So let me
finish here. So what I'm trying to get to is, I mean, there's a reason for phasing, right? Because it gives time for roads to be built, school infrastructure, so on and so forth. You folks can build housing units quicker than we can build schools, by far. So what's difficult for me is not being able to connect the timing there. The roads, too, all of the new roads that are associated with the 590 units that are required to be built, I'm assuming, and you'll need to confirm this or not, that those roads would all be built out in time along with those units?
No, they've all been constructed.
They're all complete.
They are all
complete. It's only the interchange we're talking about.
And that's why we wouldn't be able to relieve ourselves from the phasing until we've started the interchange, with the notion that when the case was approved in 2007, there were a variety of mitigations, road infrastructure, transportation, school, parks, you name it. We did over $75 million of mitigations, all of which will be delivered by the time we commence the interchange, which is why we feel like we've already given the school that would accommodate what we're projected to accommodate our kids, and they've subsequently helped other communities as well.
All right, time on that, and this is going to be my question, then keep it short answer.
Okay.
I think it can be a short answer. At the time of the rezoning, mm-hmm. What was agreed to by county staff for the schools and determine the number of elementary students that One Loudoun would generate?
Right. I don't know what the number was at 2007, but the school site itself more than mitigated, more than provided capacity for all of the elementary school students at One Loudoun. The anticipation was that we would give our students at full build-out would use a fraction of the school, and the balance of the school would be used by the surrounding community.
Exactly. So you've already proffered the site. The site's already built out.
Right.
So technically, the school is already there to meet the needs of the community from which is generated the need for the school site in the first place.
Precisely.
Questions of the applicant, Mr. Letourneau?
Yeah, I didn't know we only had elementary school children living in One Loudoun. the comment that was made by the schools was it would be best that the potential additional stress on Broad Run High School be minimized until the 2017-2018 school year, when both the expansion construction and the junior class would be transitioned. So I think what Ms. Clark maybe was getting to was, when will those these, I have 632 units. That's the number staff gave us that are remaining. Is it 590?
632 unbuilt or unpermitted.
Okay. 632 is the staff number. The applicant's number is 590. Maybe we can get
450
that.
Are the number that we're entitled to do in phase one. 450, right. 1,040 minus 450 equals 590, okay. Which is what we would unlock with this phase.
Well, in any event, when exactly will those come online?
They would come online as market demands. The point of pointing out that the majority of the remaining units are multifamily means that you've obviously got to take on a bigger tranche of them.
The student generation is less. So
No. That you have to take them on at a single time,
right.
Meaning that you can't go, we'll build 8 townhomes today, we'll see if the market's in, then we'll build another 8 townhomes. And you have to know that you've got the demand there for an entire multifamily building, which are, on average, in excess of 200 units apiece.
Well, but that's not the entire amount.
Agreed.
I guess what it comes down to me is, so far you've built 300,000 square feet of commercial. Is that about right?
Yes.
And your commitment with the current phasing plan, non-residential was 4.24 million square feet, 2.8 million square feet of office. I would be very open to discussing ways for you to be able to build more residential units before having to get all the way to this number, which is probably not realistic in the market. But if we give you every single residential unit now, what guarantee would the county have that we would see even a fraction of what you were originally committed to?
The guarantee that the county has is that the investment that we've made, utilities, site grading, road infrastructure, 5 traffic signals, a school site, the sportsplex, the interchange, all of that is predicated from a pro forma perspective on delivering substantially all, if not all, of the commercial development. And to be clear, this is not about residential selling better, and so we'd like to go there. When we talk to corporate tenants, when we talk to retailers, we talk to restaurateurs, they ask the question, when is this going to be a vibrant town center? When are we going to have the rooftops in proximity here?
Already. I think you're selling yourself short, but
the reality is
I understand that. But there's plenty of rooftops in this immediate vicinity that aren't necessarily exactly at One Loudoun. So I get your point. I think my concern would be with every single unit remaining and not having the ability to slow down a little bit the growth of the residential to help catch up to the infrastructure and to try to at least guarantee certain amount of this non-residential use as we move forward.
Mr. Bona, question.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to get to the question here in a minute. I like the application, except I'm not fond of the lack of phasing. I just want to say that. I think this Children's Learning Adventure facility is just awesome.
Amazing.
It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And there's many other things I like about this. But the first part of this is that you had your original phasing commitments. Then when we dealt with the stadium, you agreed to stay with those original phasing commitments until the zoning permit had been issued for the stadium, correct?
Right, exactly.
Okay, and it wasn't long ago we did this rezoning for the stadium.
Right.
So what has changed between then and now to say all of a sudden, well, forget all that phasing that we came back to you to deal with when we were going to build a stadium, and it goes away. What has changed?
Well, for starters, we will have paid all of our mitigation infrastructure commitments at the time that we want to be relieved from the phasing. And I can hear the board's concern. Hey, what guarantees that I'm going to get the commercial development? We look at it and we go, we are literally, at the moment we pay our last dollar, we will be so ahead of our skis, out in front of our skis in terms of the commitments made, and then we wait.
Yeah,
and we wait.
And I don't know if that's accurate or not, because we all know the profitability of residential units, and the office may not be as profitable. I want to come back to the school thing for a minute, and I agree with Supervisor Letourneau. I didn't know we only had elementary students. Here's the problem I have with no phasing. It's Broad Run High School, and I want you to address this. Because at Broad Run, we're way over capacity right now. We have 9 trailers sitting out in front of it. This is all in the Broad Run cluster because it's Broad Run, Farmwell Middle, and Stuart Weller. And as we move to renovate Broad Run, we're going to build 10 new classrooms. The board's already funded that. You already see construction starting on some of those improvements at Broad Run. We also are building Riverside High School, which is going to open this fall. Mm-hmm. It's going to provide some pressure relief to Broad Run, but here's the problem. There will be no senior class at Riverside, so all those students that are going to be seniors are going to have to stay at Broad Run for another year. And then on top of that, juniors by school board policy have the option to stay where they are. So if you told me this residential was all going to kick off after we get these renovations done to Broad Run, I'd feel a whole lot better. But if we're going to start building this residential immediately, we're going to clobber Broad Run High School. How do we deal with that?
A couple of things. One, we aren't entitled to get to the remainder of the residential until we've commenced construction on the interchange, which we anticipate happening this coming spring. At that point, then we can get zoning permits for it. Obviously, those zoning permits will take some period of time to get into the market to actually be occupied by residents. Secondly, with regard to, I heard somebody mention that the projected, you know, that these units would come on in 2016, 2017.
And that's my problem since I'm about out of time. Broad Run is not going to get alleviated till the beginning of the 2017-2018 school year. So that's the issue.
And in 2017-2018, Broad Run High School has 187 seats available. With the remainder of our units, we anticipate approximately 60 high school students. So even if they all went to Broad Run in 2017-2018, there would still be another 130 available seats. And I know it's projections, but it's 130 seats that's still available. And that takes into consideration Riverside.
Mr. Reed.
Thank you. So the 300,000 square feet, does that include the 15 acres for the park and ride and the sheriff's substation, or is that beyond the 300,000?
No, it has nothing to do with the sheriff substation or parking lot.
Okay,
that's what's permitted today.
Did you look into whether there's any room for any other facility on that 15 acres?
That's owned by the county today. Not, so we don't have control or any right to say what gets
built
on it.
So if you don't build the other, it's essentially what we're talking about is potentially allowing you to build your housing up front and potentially, and I stress potentially, leaving for the future 2 million square feet of space to be built under your proffers or 3 million?
Yeah, it's actually more than 3 million.
Yeah. So how many acres is that, does that represent of land that's just going to sit there?
We don't anticipate it sitting there. I want to be very clear.
No. How many acres are we talking about of land? That's for that 3 million.
Because you're dealing in a mixed use environment, it's difficult to give you a hard and fast answer on the acreage. There's the town center district is approximately 100 acres.
Where do you put your construction?
And the most of that.
Well, I'm talking about unbuilt. How much acreage would be? So that's a lot of. It could be a lot of
the
acreage.
The downtown area where the buildings have been built is about 40 acres. So there's about 60 acres to the north of that area along the road.
Yeah, you see what I think is possible here is that there could be some municipal use at some point for some of this land possibly, and I'm just wondering if. That might be an appropriate discussion to have at land use.
If the county is proposing, you know, building a building there and creating an Eastern Loudoun Government Center, I'm sure that Bill would be happy to sell you.
Oh, no,
land.
No, I'm not talking about that. The animal shelter would be nice.
There
the
you
animal
go.
Shelter. It's my time, Mr. Williams. I have 42 seconds. So, but you see, that's the thing that I think that concerns some of us up here is that without some kind of phasing of these 590 or 620 units, that there's possibility that the rest of the acreage will not be developed in commercial ways. It could be you may be coming back in a couple of years for additional upzoning for residential, rezoning for residential. So this is a real interesting.
With all due respect, if this phasing change doesn't happen with all the other accoutrements and benefits, the children's learning adventure, the Thrive assisted living facility, some of the other changes, the risk that the county is at, and I say at the county, not Bill, but the county, us, is that the property at the time that the 450, 11 units from now are built, that we stop and nothing happens there. And that's the concern that I have. We've got one Loudoun, which is an incredible asset, an incredible attractor of business to the community, to the county, and shows what this county is capable of, that we aren't about biding our time. We're about the future. And if we don't make this change, the concern is that things move much more slowly based on what we're hearing from corporate, retail, restaurateur tenants.
Thank you.
I would.
Ms. Volpe, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. to slow it down, because I don't have like five or six questions, but I want to be clear on this, because I know we're trying to project things. Staff, you said how many students is this supposed to generate?
242 students.
Okay, what's the breakdown? How many of them are elementary, how many middle, and how many high school?
The school board provided us with an estimate today. It's 116 elementary students, 56 middle school students, 70 high school students, for a total of 242 students.
Okay. And that's why we're opening up. All right. And having dealt with this in Cascades myself over the years, for example, correct me, I want this question to the applicant. Say you start construction on the interchange April 15th. And then you go, okay, so we've started the construction. Now we can, say, build an apartment building, you know, a multifamily. How long does it take to build something like that? Because I've seen it take a year and a half over in Cascades with the Riverbend condominiums.
Yes, obviously, the larger the building, the longer it takes. If you know, a couple hundred unit building is going to take a year plus to bring it online, because you have to finish the entire building before you can move the first resident in.
So, in reality, the earliest you would be looking at is having folks starting to move in spring of 2016. And really, that would be spring, summer, and fall, because it would take a while for people to move in.
That would be aggressive, because obviously we don't have any pending deals at this point, because we don't have the ability to tell anybody when they could build a building.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm actually more comfortable with this. Next question is, when are the renovations supposed to be done on Broad Run High School? Staff?
The renovations are ongoing at this time. Their trailers there now, and they're building their additional classroom space.
I was told that the additional classroom space and the renovation should be done by the fall of 2017. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Sophie, are you done?
Okay, I'm making my notes. Okay. In reality, we're not that far off. If you're looking at this, I'm going at most a year to 18 months. You know, difference between these renovations being done. Okay, thank you.
All right. Board members, we had no members of the public signed up to speak on this, so Mr. Williams.
Well, thank you, Chairman. I am going to make a motion. And I'm going to make some comments before we move to get a vote on that motion, because I don't know if I'll get a chance to make them afterwards. I move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion has been made for a suspension and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Mr. Williams, discussion?
Thank you, Chairman. I'm a little disappointed that my pro-economic development, my pro-business-friendly board is squeezing what I see as the one viable mixed-use property that is successful in Loudoun County.
Mr. Chairman, point of order. This is suspension.
Huh?
This is suspension.
It is, and there's discussion. He's got opening comments
on suspension.
Yes.
I am happy to help continue the great success we are seeing here at One Loudoun. At this point, I do not believe that micromanaging One Loudoun is the answer. Phasing is essential in the early stages of developments to make sure both residential and commercial development gets off the ground. This has clearly happened at One Loudoun, with 300,000 square feet of commercial and another 250,000 square feet in the queue or MOU or business that is forthcoming that is not public at this time. I believe that they've met it, and I'm surprised that we're going to such great lengths to micromanage their success. The residential units that are in question tonight are not new units. They were approved by the board in 2007, and they've been planned for in our capital facilities. Every piece of infrastructure to support this application has been paid for. Transportation, the schools, it's covered. Giving One Loudoun the flexibility to develop more vibrancy in their own town center will draw more commercial development. I know that the commitment they made to stay forth and keep going with the commercial continues. The ULI study we received last year that everyone applauded made it clear that Loudoun's economic future lies in high-value mixed-use developments like One Loudoun, and these developments should not be hampered by too much phasing. No one had a problem with then. This vote tonight is about making sure Loudoun secures our economic future with vibrant mixed-use development that brings in high-quality commercial that we all want so badly. And I would encourage my colleagues to support suspension. I don't think the issues are going to change if it goes to TLUC and or if we kick this out a month. And let's let these folks continue in the successful path they've been on. Thank you.
Mr. Letourneau.
Yeah. With respect, the vote tonight is not about economic development. It's just about suspending the rules. I understand there's an eagerness to act on this application, but this is, and I also understand the Broad Run District Supervisor has been knee-deep in One Loudoun for a long time, as is appropriate. But some of us, this is the first time we've really had a chance to delve into it with the applicant, hear what their responses are on the record, which is a little different sometimes than private conversations just because of the setting and the everybody else's input. And I don't think that we need to rush to make a decision. And I don't think the decision, for those of us who have expressed some concerns, is necessarily automatically no. It's just, as currently proposed, there are some concerns, and there's some issues, particularly for me, in the phasing area. I think there's ways to allow additional flexibility without necessarily allowing every single residential unit to be built up front. The reality is, when it comes down to micromanaging, I don't know why the county would bother to have a phasing plan in the first place if every single time the board simply wipes it out when the applicant comes and asks for it. And between this and a couple other applications, that's what's happened. In this case, the mix, the balance was supposed to be 1,040 units and 4.2 million square feet of non-residential. We've gotten about 500 or less, half the unit, less than half the residential units, and we've gotten 300,000 square feet or less than 10% of the non-residential. So I think, from my standpoint, I would like to see things move a little bit more concurrently moving forward. And hopefully that's something that can be worked out. We'll see, but I'm not going to support suspension.
All right. Ms. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I as well will not be supporting suspension. You know, we've been dealing with a number of very large items, and I think this board has been clear regarding our concern about the roads, transportation, schools. I know that I had requested from staff if when we have these large residential applications that come before us, if we could have a representative from the school system be present. We just received numbers today. There's no opportunity here for us to engage in conversation or dialogue with the school system. We have to rely on our county staff who doesn't operate the schools and or the applicant. You know, the interchange, I have some more questions around the timing of all that too, and folks that will live in that area are not going to just circulate in that little nucleus of One Loudoun. They are going to go out and beyond, and we have huge traffic issues in that area, as everyone on this board knows, and improvements that are coming, but timing is everything. I think One Loudoun is a fantastic development. My husband and I enjoy going over there, and I think that the units, the residential units, are lovely. We've walked through them. But once again, I mean, whatever happens there has somewhat of a domino effect in terms of as the traffic comes. And if we don't have some of those other improvements in place as well, some of those other interchanges on Route 7 that are planned to be coming. We already have this huge wax pool road, major issue that we're fighting with the state on. CTV try to even get that to be kept in our plans to get their assistance on. I mean, it's just everywhere we go, everybody we talk to, what they talk about, the overcrowding in the schools here and the transportation issues. So while I respect the request, there is still the approval for these units to be built, and what we're talking about is speeding up something in an environment where we already have a difficult situation. So I will not support suspension of the rules. I need a little more time to look at this and talk to folks.
Mr. Delgadio.
Yes, we do talk about schools, and, you know, we also approved, my gut feeling, you know, we approved what we did in Broad Run, and that was a significant improvement in that locality. And the construction, as outlined by Supervisor Volpe and her schedule of practical application. So we have to measure this. We have to be very careful, and I'm be very respectful. I don't think your motion to suspend is going to pass, but I'm going to vote for it anyway to encourage you, to those of you who want to be uppity like the supervisor here, I'll always vote for a motion to suspend. Even the chairman makes a motion to suspend every now and then. So, but I really, over my four terms, I have not seen, and this is the part about Supervisor Williams is correct, I have, in my four terms, I have not seen a more diligent and more enthusiastic developer in the middle of Loudoun County. We have a comparable major contributor to economic development with the Lerner Corporation at the Dulles Town Center. But when I heard that number, $75 million worth of road improvements, it was done without a CDA. We had a community development authority do that over at the Dulles Town Center. So the scale of the improvement, the scale of the commitment, the timing of the delivery, you know, I would like to see more commercial space, as Supervisor Clark has pointed out. I have a belief, as Supervisor Williams, and a confidence that there'll be another 200,000. So for the 500,000 total development in commercial space at this location, I'll obviously see this where it goes tonight, but I would like to see more commercial development, of course. But if the applicant is saying, trust us because we've performed, I think in this case they have performed.
Okay. Mr. Reed.
Thank you very much. First of all, I like what you're doing at One Loudoun. I really do. But I would not agree with my colleague, Mr. Williams, that it's the most successful or the only successful of mixed-use development. Village of Leesburg is very successful, and so is Lands Downtown Center. There are several others. And in the case of both of them, I don't believe the board or the town council, in the case of Village of Leesburg, essentially let them off on their commercial. And they had to build out that Village of Leesburg on spec, and it's 30-40% vacant, the office space. They've had some difficulty with the retail, but it's getting along there. The town did actually allow them to build townhouses instead of senior housing, but it was a reduction in the density. So what we're doing here tonight, if we suspend the rules and we approve this, is we are essentially giving away the store. Mr. Letourneau and Mr. Bone are raising some very, very valid questions, issues about the phasing and about the impact on the schools. I recognize you're in a pickle with commercial development. I recognize that. Office space demand is way, way down. I do recognize that. But unless we have a discussion at the Land Use Committee and start and deal with this properly, essentially we're giving away the store. And so I would urge you not to vote for suspension. I would urge you to instead send this to the Land Use Committee, which we usually do with issues like this, which are a little, which are complicated. Thank you.
Mr. Bona.
Yes, thank you. I do think One Loudoun is the most successful development in the county. You've got some great tenants in there. You've got some good anchors. You're becoming an entertainment center. I know Supervisor Williams and I have gone to multiple groundbreakings over there recently, Class A office space spec by Merits, another one spec built by Buckeye, and there's a lot good going on. The Planning Commission did ask for you to come back with phasing, and the way our item reads is you just didn't, and nothing ever came back to them at all, which I don't know why that's the case, but they asked for it specifically. And let me, it's not quite Q&A right now, there's a motion on the table, but the fact is that 1,040 units, your total non-residential, according to your current phasing plan without the stadium, is 4.2 million square feet. And even with the stadium, it's the same. It's just how you phase those in. The fact is, you were supposed to do a million of it under both cases, under 450 units. So if we're going to take you all the way to 1040 and you got 300,000 plus 200,000, we've only hit half of what was there for phase one, which was a million of non-residential, 250,000 of office, That's under the stadium scenario. Under the non-stadium, it was 500,000 square feet. So really, all we've done is maybe get to part of what you were supposed to do in phase one for 150 units, and we're lifting all phasing. I'm okay with trying to give you more incentive to get more people in there and more traffic, and that helps stimulate the retail at least, and maybe the office. But to just wipe out all phasing, yeah, we all want to take your word for it, and we all know you, and we all trust you. But at the same time, I think the county loses all leverage in every respect if we go ahead and just say wipe out all phasing, because we've done this phasing on this project multiple times. I can't support suspension. I do think there's some middle grounds here that could be worked out and try to get you some more residential accelerated, but not necessarily all of it all together immediately. Thank you.
All right, board members, I'll support suspension, but obviously suspension is not going to happen, so maybe the maker of the motion wants to reconsider here the motion that is on. The reason I'm going to support suspension, because for me the application that is before us is ready to go. I want to remind folks and the seven supervisors who were not here at the last board, we went through the school issue. That's why we're building HS8, now Riverside High School, Trailside Middle School, and the other elementary schools to help relieve the pressure that has been there, which took into account all the approved residential units, not the ones on the ground, but all the approved residential units. So the seats are being built or have been built. The transportation is essentially, by this applicant, all done except for the one interchange, which the residential units cannot start until after the interchange is under construction. They have done just about everything they have proffered. And the fact of the matter is, whether we decide as a board to alleviate them of the phasing or keep it, they, at any time, or if they ever sold the project, a new developer can come and request for more residential units. It's just up to the board to say no. In this, all we're doing is accelerating part of the plan to get more folks living there as part of the mixed-use community that is, well, right now under development to help support the businesses that are there and to help to attract, to attract more businesses and entice them to be there. And I disagree with my staff on this one. They do a good job, but on this one I disagree with them, and I'm ready to support what has come before us. Mr. Williams, concluding.
Just in conclusion, instead of throwing out all phasing, there's only two phases. And this applicant came in originally with 2,500 units. And Lori Waters did a great job, you know, representing this community and got you down to 1,000 units. And so I feel like you've been squeezed. And the Planning Commission supported this, analyzed it. This is another one where we're really just discounting, I think, recommendation of our Planning Commission. And I'm not going to withdraw my motion to suspend. I'm going to ask my colleagues to vote in basically not in support of this motion to grant the suspension relief.
All right. All in favor of the motion for suspension signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. That motion will fail. 4-5, I believe, is the count. Let me see the hands on in favor of suspension. I want to make sure I got that right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, it still fails at a 5-4 suspension.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It fails on a 5-4 vote. You have to have a supermajority for suspension. That's why it fails.
So.
So the five in favor is Ms. Volpe, Mr. Higgins, Mr. Williams, Mr. York, Mr. Dell, Gaudio. Mr. Williams, you have an alternative?
Yes,
motion?
I'll bring back another motion. And again, I don't think anything changes between by sending this to committee. I think what does change is maybe it'll give my colleagues the opportunity to research some of the concerns about the capacity and so forth. So I will move that the Board of Supervisors forward ZMAP 2013-0009, ZCPA 2013-6, SPEX 2013-34, SPEX 2013-35, SPEX 2013-44, One Loudon to the December 3rd, 2014 Board of Supervisors Business Meeting for action.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Further discussion opening at all?
No, sir.
Okay. Other comment? Mr. Reed.
This is to send it to the business meeting for action. I would like to move an alternative motion of the Board of Supervisors forward ZMAP 2013-009, ZCPA 2013-006, SPECS 2013-0034, SPECS 2013-0035, and SPECS 2013-0044, One Loudon to the Transportation Land Use Committee for further discussion. A timeline extension will be required from the applicant for this action.
Second.
Motion has been made by Mr. Reed and seconded by Mr. Letourneau. And the critical action date is actually December 17th. Your motion was to send it just to TLEC or to send it in December? In December or November? If it goes.
There is no December TLEC meeting.
It has to be November.
Okay, then the extension is not right now required because the decision, critical decision deadline is December 17th. Discussion on the motion. Ms. Volpe.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm concerned about sending this to TLEC because, for example, with the zoning ordinance amendment on the breweries, I have a clear list. These are four items that need to be looked at and fixed. If we're going to send something to TLUC, I'd like to know clearly. For example, if I knew I wanted an additional traffic light, I would have had a conversation with the applicant saying, will you build a traffic light? And they would either say yes or no. If they said yes, it would be in the proffers. So do we have a list of why we're sending this to TLUC? Because when we send something to TLUC, when there aren't clear questions, you know, that need to be answered or something that needs to be researched or, you know, the proper language has to be reworked or whatever, I don't want to invite the applicant in to go, hi, how are you? What shall we talk about today? So if we can get clarification on that, should the majority of the board want to send this to TLUC, I would be deeply appreciative.
Further discussion on the substitute motion, Mr. Letourneau.
Yeah, I think those of us who have concerns would like to see if there's any alternative to the phasing proposed here that would still hold back at least some residential units before giving up 3.9 million or say 3.6 million of what the county originally asked for. I think that is the clear issue that has emerged for those of us to have concerns. That may not be what the majority of the board thinks, but I would say to Mr. Williams' comment that nothing will change if the majority of the board doesn't want anything to change. That is a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, if the board requests a change and the majority of the board asks the applicant to make some kind of change, then something would change. And that discussion could occur at TLUC, and then it can come to the full board. I think in this case, it's not delaying the applicant. So I don't see the harm in that.
Board members, I'm not going to support the substitute motion, partly because the members of TLUC, only one has expressed a reservation on it. And it really comes down to, are you going to support the phasing proposal or not? And if you think there's a middle ground, and this is sent to TLUC, I certainly hope the chairman will send an email reminder to those that are concerned to come to TLUC and have that discussion. It is very difficult at sometimes to get into something when certain members of the board are very concerned about the application. We ask, we get no response, and are not there for the discussion. And I would really suggest, since on this one issue, that you sit down and talk with the applicant before December 3rd, and if something can be worked out amenable, the documents will be there for us ready to look at on December 3rd. That's where I'm at. Further discussion, Mr. Reed.
Thank you. It was my motion, so I would like to discuss again. A timeline extension would be required from the applicant, and I think the applicant would probably consent if there were a special December meeting of TILA.
It is not. Critical action date is December 17, 2014. When I graduated from high school, I didn't learn much, but by then I knew that December was after November.
So what you're saying is that there's no opportunity for the board. The board has to act by December 3rd, and so there can't be an opportunity for a special TILUC meeting in December is what you're saying under the law.
The motion would be to go to a November TILUC
meeting. I understand, and we can narrow that. If you know, I can offer a friendly amendment to narrow it to deal strictly with a phasing issue. So that will be the discussion. Mr. Letourneau is the seconder, agrees.
Mr. Letourneau, you can put that in your own motion if you agree, just to talk about the phasing issue. But so for the November TILUC meeting.
Okay. I think we should send this to TILUC. I don't think there's a problem. I think that, again, it is going to appear to the public, even though we know that this has already been approved, that we have essentially approved the acceleration of about 600 homes. I would urge my colleagues to have a discussion at TILUC so we have some real deliberation, not just bring it back on the dais and have some kind of thing worked out in private. I think an open discussion is warranted here.
All right. All in favor of the substitute motion to send this to the Transportation Land Use Committee, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion, I think, fails 3-6 with Mr. Reed, Mr. Letourneau, and Ms. Clark in support of the substitute motion. So that fails. And we're back to the main motion to send this to the December 3rd meeting for action. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. Board members, we are going to take a 5-minute recess, and when we come back, Mr. Williams will take over as I need to leave. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is item 11, SPMI 2013-0009, property of James Maricini. Evening.
Good evening. This is a minor special exception, so it did not go to the Planning Commission, so I do have a brief presentation for you this evening. The minor special exception is for a small business, in this case an office in the AR1 zoning district in the rural policy area. As you can see here, the parcel is outlined in yellow. It's a irregularly shaped 17-acre parcel. The site of the office is in the northwest corner of the parcel, and that is the location where, if it is approved, that is the only location where the office would be permitted. The subject property is northwest of Leesburg, and it's on the northeast side of Route 7. It'll be accessed from Fort Johnston Road. This application is for 5 ordinance modifications that would permit the office use in an existing early 20th century barn. That is to increase the number of employees from 4 to 6, to increase the permitted size of the structure from 5,000 square feet to 9,600 square feet, and that is largely related to the fact that it is a barn and it's a large building because of its former agricultural use. Decrease the 300-foot building setback to a minimum of 16 feet, and that is along the northern property line. Decrease the 300-foot parking setback to a minimum of 25 feet, and that's along the northern property line. And then also reduce the amount of required parking spaces from 14 to 8. And then there are a series of buffer modifications that would permit additional evergreens to be planted in the areas where the buffer yard is being decreased. I mean, the setbacks are being decreased to increase the screening, as well as have a required screening fence along the western property line, and also to screen the parking from the road. This is just a photo of that existing barn constructed prior to 1937 that the office will be in. And you can also see the existing privacy fence. Staff does support this request since the modifications will allow the applicant to adaptively reuse the barn, thereby preserving a piece of the county's heritage, the agricultural heritage in this case, which is consistent with the rural area policies and of the revised general plan and the heritage preservation plan. And staff is recommending approval with conditions, and there are no issues with the application. It's ready for action.
Thank you very much. Questions for staff? Supervisor Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple questions. You answered one of them. The 9,600 square foot is the size of the barn, basically, the existing barn?
Correct.
Okay. If the applicant was not desiring to use this barn but wanted to build a similar use somewhere else on the property without asking for the exceptions and the setbacks and some of those things, there would be a permitted use under the zoning, is that correct?
I believe it would have to meet all the requirements of Section 5600, and if it did, they could have a building up to 5,000 square feet based on the acreage size of the property.
So they would not have to come for a minor special exception at all. They would just have to work with zoning
Those
issues. That's what I thought. I guess a question has been raised with some concerns about what type of business, and I wonder if it's appropriate to ask what type of business we're contemplating for the site.
In this case, zoning determined that the use would be an office use. That is a use that would run with the land if this application is approved. So as long as the application met all of the conditions, an office use met all of the conditions that would be approved with this application, then it could be any type of use that qualifies as an office according to zoning. I believe the applicant would be willing to answer some questions.
Sure, I was going to ask the applicant if they had a presentation or anything, but we could just put them together if it's okay with you. Mr. Maricini, good evening. Did you have a presentation or any comments prepared for us?
I don't have a presentation, but good evening, and I'm more than happy to tell you a little bit about the business. I do own a small engineering firm here in Loudoun County that does SBIR-related work. It's electronics, predominantly electronics and mathematics company, and we do business with several other Loudoun County corporations like Intelligent Decisions with some training products. What we make is, and what we study are orientation sensors based on, you know, kind of pointing devices like what's inside of your cell phone, where you can find out what direction is north and you can tilt it up and down. So it uses accelerometers and magnetometers, which measure Earth's magnetic field. These are 100% passive devices. They're, like I said, in your, it's the exact components that are inside of your cell phone. And an example of one is this. And all it does is measure the, you know, kind of, in some training systems, sit on a bone of the participant. Usually, like I said, it's either Army or law enforcement-based training, and points a direction. And by doing that, it helps to track a person throughout a building or throughout an exercise for different after-action review. So my interest in this building is, number one, I own the property, and this 100-year-old barn is in need of renovation, and my company is in need of a place that is not where there's a uniform magnetic field. And typically inside normal commercial space, it's all steel, and steel kind of, you know, warps magnetic field, and you can't really understand what you're doing if you're inside of that space. And so this is why I'm trying to renovate a building where there's some open land for us to be able to do our studies.
Well, thank you, sir. And Mr. Higgins, did you have any more questions for the applicant?
To the issue of the magnetic field and what you're doing with that, I mean, that is in a controlled circumstance within, contained, if you are.
This is only a passive sensor, meaning it doesn't generate any magnetic field. It is looking at the Earth's magnetic field just exactly like, you know, this, it's almost exactly like this old style compass with the needle. It's just looking and pointing a direction, and that's the way these devices work.
So are you all in engineering, are you actually designing these apparatus or building them or some of both?
I mean, we're designing for the most part. We don't build anything directly. I mean, we would send that to some shop that would populate commercially off-the-shelf electronics components onto a printed circuit board and then send it back to us, and then we would see what the results were as we were kind of, you know, running that board.
Great. And collecting data. Thank you. One question I have you had the opportunity to meet with any of your neighbors and talk about this?
Some neighbors, yes. Some of the neighbors.
Okay. One reason I would suggest, tonight I'm going to make a motion when it's appropriate, I guess, to forward this to a future meeting for action, but I think it might be good if we can try to work out a meeting with the neighbors in the next whatever time period before that, just to get everybody's questions answered and their concerns addressed. Because, you know, that'll help you having a good neighbor policy going forward. It will also help them better understand what you're doing, and also understanding that, you know, if you decide, if we turn down this special exception on the barn, you can build another facility and do the exact same thing on the property. So, thank you.
Okay. If there's no other questions at this time, we'd like to hear from the community. We do have three speakers on this item. The first speaker is Joe Davis. And Joe Davis will be followed by James Kershaw. Good evening, sir. You have 2 minutes.
Good evening, Vice Chairman Williams and members of the board. I have to say that I'm thrilled I didn't live next to One Loudon after listening to you all talk about that earlier this evening. My wife and I live at the house just on the other side of that privacy fence there. We bought the property about 3 years ago and love living on Fort Johnson and plan to be in that house, which was also built in 1919 for as long as some of our neighbors who've been there for 50 years. I have met with Mr. Marincini and spoken to him about his plan, and I'm here to inform you all that my wife and I do not object to the proposed modifications that he suggested, given agreements that we've come with each other. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Kershaw to be followed by William Henry.
My name is James Kershaw. I'm a 10-year resident of Fort Johnston Road, and I live up the hill from the property. I would just like to say I support Mr. Higgins' suggestion to forward it to a committee or for further investigation. I had only a very brief 10-minute conversation with Mr. Marincini outside about this whole process, and that's as far as I know. So being a neighbor, I'm a 28-year resident of Leesburg. I love Fort Johnston Road, and I would not like to see it changed, but I'd just like to hear more about his plans before the board votes on it. Thank you. For
your Understood. Thank you, sir. William Henry will be our concluding speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Members of the board, I'm William Henry. I live on Fort Johnston Road for the past 18 years, about 200 yards or so from the barn that we're talking about. I'm also glad to hear Supervisor Higgins say that he would like to gather to get more information about this issue, because I'm one neighbor who also would have a number of, first of all, well, two concerns, really. One is that Mr. Marincini might gain this variance and then sell the property for some other use that's less acceptable than what's been presented so far. I know it's his right to do that, but I just want more information. Second concern is that even if he does not sell the property, he hasn't told the neighbors much about the proposed use, hasn't told me anything. I haven't met the gentleman. But I understand that we've just heard a little bit tonight about this magnetic field. I want to know more about that. Possible effect on the instrument landing system for the Leesburg Airport, as well as any effect on the adjoining properties. We don't know what kind of materials really would be used in the business, what the effect on the water table might be. The staff says it's an office use. Mr. Marincini says they make things. Again, I think more information is in order, and I'm very glad to hear that Supervisor Higgins will recommend that we get more information. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Supervisor Higgins, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I want to ask the applicant, though, a question. Are you on some kind of a date certain timeline for this project? And the reason I ask that is I am not going to be able to be here on December 3rd. So if we send it to that meeting, you know, that creates a problem for me. I'm wondering if we could send that to a later meeting. Well, I'm talking about going into January.
January sounds good.
I'm sorry?
January is good for me.
January's all right.
Supervisor Higgins, if you do extend make a motion to send it to a meeting later than December 25th, Mr. Marincini would need to extend the timeline. The critical action date is December 25th.
Is there any cost to him for that? I mean, is that possible to do?
No, it's not. It's just an agreement.
Are you all right with that?
Yes.
I'd actually like to send it to the second meeting in January, if that's okay.
Okay.
And the date of that is?
January 14th.
Could I also clarify that this is a sensing Earth's magnetic field,
and
that field is there 100% of the time, and God made it, I guess, the planets.
I understand, but you know.
No, I just want to make sure, because everyone hears the word magnetic and they think that we're going to like stop the sun from.
Understood. Shining. Understood. All right. So the first business meeting in January would be the 7th. And the 21st would be the second business meeting in January, Supervisor Higgins.
Is that all right with you to go to that? Yeah. Okay, January 20th.
All right. Would you like to put that in form of a motion, sir?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I move the Board of Supervisors forward SPMI 2013-0009, property of James Marincini.
Marincini, yes.
Marincini, to the January 21st. 2015 Board of Supervisors business meeting for action.
Second.
Motion has been seconded. A motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Reed. Any additional discussion on the motion? We all set? Oh, Supervisor Delgadio.
Thank you, and I appreciate the joke about the magnets.
this is not, I don't think this is as intensive as the brewery, but there just needs to be that meeting really to explain what's in the neighborhood. That's about it. Thank you.
Sounds like you're going to have a holiday party with your neighbors, sir. So, any additional comments, Supervisor Higgins? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will pass 8-0-1 with Chairman York absent for the vote. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Next item on the agenda, item 12, SPMI 2014-0015, Safa Home Daycare. Any updates?
No updates this time. I will note that the application did not receive any public objections, and the applicant has been fully compliant with the entire process, and they've been a model business.
Wonderful. Evening, ma'am. Would you like to, do you have anything prepared for us? Would you like to make any comments to the board? If you want to push that button there on the microphone.
Thank you, ma'am. Good evening, everyone. My name is, thanks for having me. My name is Fatima Yusuf. I'm the owner of Safa Daycare. For many years, I used to have state license. Since now the zoning change, I have 9. But I have raised a lot of kids in the neighborhood with their siblings. Sometimes when school closed, they come back to us. So I went special space for them.
Okay. Well, thank you. Any questions for the applicant or for staff at this time? All right. There is no members of the public signed up to speak on this item, and this is in the Ashburn District. Supervisor Fona?
Yes, thank you. I'm going to move the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Second. Motion has been made for suspension, and Supervisor Williams has seconded. Discussion on the motion for suspension? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will pass 7-0-2 with Supervisor Clark and Chairman York absent for the vote. Supervisor Bonin?
Yes, thank you. I move the Board of Supervisors approve SPMI 2014-0015 Safa Home Daycare, subject to the conditions of approval dated October 30th, 2014, and based on the findings for approval contained in the November 12th, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing staff report.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Williams.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Supervisor Delgadio?
Thank you. I just wanted to say this is a detached house and I'll be voting for it.
Okay.
Do I have an opening?
Yes, I'm going to get back to you. He chimed in. Supervisor Bona, opening.
It's your turn, Supervisor Delgadio.
I'm too accommodating.
It's your turn.
Supervisor Bona, please.
Chairman York leaves and look what happens.
I know.
Okay, cats anyhow. Ma'am, you've been running this business since 2003, right? So for 11 years you've been running this business. There's been no complaints. You've taken care of 9 children. In April 2014, you applied for the 12 children, correct? So this is in the Farmwell community. It's a neighborhood I know well because I'm sure I knocked on your door. I knocked every door 3 times in that community, so I know it well. This house backs on a cul-de-sac. It's single-family detached. So there's been no complaints from the neighbors, so I think this is one that has very little controversy, and I hope my colleagues will vote for it. Thank you.
All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will pass 8-0-1 with Chairman York absent for the vote. Congratulations, ma'am. Thank you. Next item on the agenda. You're all set.
Okay.
Did you want to say anything else? Okay. Have a great night. Thanks for getting compliant. Okay.
There you go.
Next item on the agenda, final item of the evening, is one we all know well, item 13, SPEX 2012-38, ZRTD 2012-8, Wawa Old Ox Road. Hello.
Good evening. I do not have anything new to add to the staff report that you received in your packet.
Okay. Well, I know we've kept you late. I think this is their third or fourth time. Do you have any? You have a presentation or anything you'd like to tell us this evening? Anything new?
I do not have anything new to report, but I would like to, for the record, state that the first of all, my name is Kimberly Heiss. I'm a land use planner with Walsh Colucci here in Leesburg, representing Wawa Inc. on their applications. For the record, the property was posted and notice letters were sent out to the adjacent properties, and the affidavit was submitted tonight to the secretary to the board, and also the reaffirmation. And by the way, good evening, Chairman, as Vice Chairman Williams and members of the Board of Supervisors. The only other thing I'd like to add, I will yield the time given the circumstances that you know about the application, and we really would appreciate your support and suspension of the rules, if at all possible, and approval of the application this evening. I believe it's ready for vote, and we've worked very hard on the application. And if you have any questions, this evening is John Eidberger here from Wawa, Tom Boyer, and we also have our traffic consultant, Tushar Awar, and also the, if you have any engineering questions, we have Travis D'Amico from Bowler Engineering. Thank you so much.
Ms. Lice, can you give me just a real quick synopsis of the re-advertisement that was done between last month and this evening?
Yes. Yes, I can. The board had directed the applicant to re-advertise the public hearing to make sure that the use was properly stated in the notice in, that went into the paper. So that was done. The advertisement went out to advertise the automobile service station, which is correct and was determined by zoning through the process by the zoning administrator. And we worked with the county attorney, reviewed the ad, and that was submitted to the papers for re-advertisement.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Heiss.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for staff or the applicant on this item before we have the members of the public speak? Supervisor Letourneau?
Well, for staff or for the applicant or both?
Either one.
Mr. Brown, can you just state for us for the record here that the re-advertisement was consistent with what the board requested at the last public hearing, and that as far as your office is concerned, there are no issues related to the description of the use and the type and the definition that this application came forward on?
We have no concerns. We think it was advertised properly the first time. The second advertisement simply amplified for the benefit of the public at the request of the board to clarify, amplify what was contained within the zoning defined use. And that's what they've applied for, and that's what we've advertised, and that's what they're asking for approval for. And we have no concerns about the adequacy of the ad.
Okay. Supervisor Higgins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question for staff, and I'm looking for it, but I'm not finding it. I'm sure you'll understand what I'm asking about. But in the zoning requirements for a gas station, there's a call, or gas station convenience store, there's a call for the principal use to be gasoline, or gas distribution or gas sales. And I guess my question is, what is the definition of that? Is that based on, for principal use, it needs to be gross sales, gross profit? What do we have, or do we have a definition of that?
Well, the automobile service station, gasoline, and those types of sales are principal. It does not preclude other uses that are permitted by an automobile service station to be the primary use as well. So there is no principal and accessory use. They're all principal uses that would be permitted under the automobile service station.
Okay, so that does not mean that, you know, gasoline or the sales of gasoline has to be 51% of the product.
That's correct.
The principal use just means it needs to be not the principal use, so to speak, but a principal use.
Correct. A principal use, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Reed.
Thank you very much. Kate, if I may ask you, my aide asked you earlier today about the this access road, which is through the gas station. It's going to be maintained by Wawa. It's not a public street, but it's going to be built to public street standards, or no?
It will be built to private street standards and will be a private street with a public access easement.
And this has been done before in the county?
That's correct.
Where?
One Loudoun is one example.
One Loudoun in what area?
I'm not entirely sure, but I guess it was to a gas station. Okay. It's a... The private street with the public access easement provides access to a use across districts where that use is not permitted. And
that's not on a major road, is it?
It is not a major road. It's a private street.
Okay. Now, so Oak Grove Road, when it's widened, is it going to have a dedicated right turn lane?
It will have a dedicated right turn lane.
But it won't have a ramp. It's not going to be like...
It's an intersection with a signalized intersection.
Okay, so therefore, if it's backed up, people can go through the Wawa.
It's feasible that people could go through the Wawa. The applicant responded to that question and indicated that it's the same distance, almost the same distance to go to the light and take a right as opposed to cutting through the Wawa. There's a dedicated right turn lane, and also cutting through the parking lot would mean having to deal with pedestrians, reduce speed in the parking lot itself. So they don't foresee that as being an issue or cut through traffic.
Okay. Now, I'm going back to the public hearing in September, and the report says the applicant is also applying for a special exception to permit an automobile service station. In the memo we got today from Walsh Colucci, which I only read earlier today, it says here that it's a combination of an automobile service station allowed by special exception and a restaurant carryout only permitted by right.
That's correct. The by right use is not does not go through the legislative process. It's an administrative process that would be reviewed at site plan only. It's a by right use.
I thought there was a convenience food store use.
That is part of a use that's allowed in the definition of an automobile service station. The sale of convenience goods is also permitted.
And that's allowed under the zoning ordinance?
That's correct, the definition.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Delgadio.
Thank you. I noticed on the work item, the board item, the staff objection, that you would prefer a 100% office use in buildings of four or more stories and an FAR of 0.4 to 1.0 along Ox Road. That's a pretty serious requirement. I mean, and when you're looking at the Route 28 tax district, what's the downgrade, I mean, in terms of comparison? Can I get any?
I'm not sure what you mean by downgrade.
I know we talked about this with Juan Loudon just a few minutes ago about the requirement for millions of square feet. Here we want this section of property. It's only 3 acres, nearly 3 acres, 2.83 acres. What's the financial hit to the Route 28 tax district for not having 100% office use in buildings four or more stories in this area?
That is not something that we analyzed with this application. The plan policy for the Route 28 business area is to support and envisions four-story office along Old Ox Road. So our analysis is based on the plan policy, which envisions a different type of use than a standalone retail use along Old Ox Road.
But we do carefully look at every transit, whatever you want to call this, a conversion, a down zone, basically, from a more intense four-story, 100% use.
Well, the zoning district permits an automobile service station by special exception.
Right.
They're doing a zoning conversion to the newer zoning ordinance, which is supported by the board to convert to the revised 1993 zoning ordinance. But it's not a down zoning. It's a use that's allowed by special exception in this zoning district. It's the plan policy that envisions a higher intensity use.
Right. I ate at a Wawa today, but I'll get into those comments later. It's a restaurant and a gas station and a car repair. So it's got all those uses there. I'm kind of prejudicial towards the Route 28 tax district understanding. Are there other uses in that area that we're expecting office in that along Route 7? Along Route Ox Road. It says in your item that you're looking for this along Ox Road.
That's correct.
So in this area, you're looking for that on the Loudon side. You're looking for this.
That's correct. The vision is for the uses along Old Ox Road to be office, 100% office uses with some supportive retail as part of the larger plan development and along Old Ox Road that those office uses are four stories.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Clark.
Thank you. How many other automotive service stations are within a mile or two of this particular parcel?
Off the top of my head, I don't know the exact answer, but there are three along Old Ox Road, one on the other side of Route 28, and then two to the east of Route 28.
Okay.
And there's a few more to the north.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a handful of them in that immediate area. The construction, the 606 expansion project, in terms of that project, the length of time, the confluence of cars that are in that general area, do you foresee any problems or any impact with that, with construction at this site? I'm just thinking of timing because I know we have this three-year construction project for 606.
At this time, there is no plans to expand or proffers to widen Route 606. In the area of this application, there are commitments, once they're triggered, to widen Old Ox Road to four lanes, install a traffic signal at Old Ox, widen Oak Grove Road, if I didn't say that correctly, to four lanes, install the traffic signal at Oak Grove and Old Ox, and also extend the left-hand turn lane from Old Ox onto Oak Grove Road. And those are the transportation improvements that are planned at this time.
So there's a plan to expand Oak Grove?
Widen it to four lanes. And I would also add that the applicant is dedicating the right-of-way along Old Ox Road for that future widening of Old Ox.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. I think before I get into any commentary, I will, if no one else has any other questions, let's hear the public has to say on this one. Speaker one would be Phyllis Akers. And Phyllis will be followed by Fred Chandler. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to address the board this evening. I am Phyllis Tart Akers, the owner of the property for which Wawa has requested board approval to construct and operate a retail service facility. As a local small business person, I am pleased to be associated with the Wawa Corporation in its more than 2 years of diligent efforts to conform to all relevant county requirements. Adaptation of Route 28 Corridor Plan 2011 has complicated the real property development approval process for property owners like myself. This is because the plan focuses on the desired future state of the corridor, whereas the board review and appeal process must also give consideration to the zoning, economic, and developmental situation currently existing within the corridor. The Planning Commission and its professional staff have conducted appropriate and in-depth reviews and analysis of Wawa's application, and they have recommended approval. I hope the board can appreciate the challenge that property owners face when attempting to maintain economic viability while concurrently seeking to conform to a radically changed county development plan. This can be illustrated by briefly reviewing my family's ownership experience relative to the subject property. My family established and operated a small lumber company and hardware store in Arlington, Virginia for over 30 years until it was forced out by high-density development. My father, who was a strong believer in the long-range economic future of the Dulles area, relocated the business to Route 28 over 40 years ago when Route 28 was almost totally undeveloped. The business has paid the special tax district assessment that has fueled improvements to the Route 28 corridor, leading to economic growth that now enables implementation of elements of the 2011 corridor plan. The family subsequently purchased two pieces of property on Route 606 with the expectation of expanding Tart Lumber and Hardware to those locations. However, adaptation of the 2011 corridor plan and the downturn in the economy created a slowdown in the building supply industry and made expansion of the business to Route 606 unfeasible for the foreseeable future.
Ms. Akers, I need you to kind of wrap up, but if you could pass the clerk here right up, I would like to review that. It's been very, very helpful.
Okay. I guess what I would like to say to the board members is that my family's owned this piece of property for 31 years. I received the property as part of my inheritance. I am anxious to develop the property to get some retirement income. I do not have the financial wherewithal to develop the property myself. This agreement, lease agreement with Wawa is 20 years. I would like to see an opportunity to gain some income. I'm 66. In 20 years, I may be dead. I'd like to get some income off of this property during my lifetime. I don't see any future for a four-story office.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Fred Chandler, to be followed by Woody Turner.
Vice Chairman Williams and members of the board, I thought I was going to have 3 minutes, and I couldn't even get this down to 3 minutes. So I'm going to have to paraphrase the whole thing to get it even close to 2 minutes. My name is Fred Chandler. I'm here representing my mother's property today, which is at the corner of Old Ox Road and Rock Hill Road. We're almost directly across the street from where the Wawa is going in. My mother and father bought this property in 92. It took till 2001 to get a building put on it, to get it through zoning and get a building put on there. When they bought it, they went to zoning, and Loudoun County zoning, and said, hey, we want to put our automotive service business on it, and we also want to put a convenience store with gas pumps. How do we do it? The property was zoned residential. They were informed the only way to do it was to apply for PDGI zoning and then ask for a special exemption. So they did that, paid the fees, and then went into zoning and started the zoning process. In the zoning process, they were forced to, in order to get the special exemption, they were required to significantly alter the plans. They wanted to build a car wash. They were told they could not build a car wash. They had to proffer that out. Although a carryout restaurant is a by right use, they had to give that up as part of the special exemption for the convenience store. That meant we could not offer prepared foods such as sandwiches, hoagies, burgers, which Wawa says is their main business. Later, after they got the zoning approval and moved on, we decided to lease it out to 7-Eleven. And 7-Eleven wanted to make some minor changes to it. And then those minor changes, we originally had three gas pump islands on there. They were required to give up one of the gas pump islands in order to get this, to make these changes. Our last traffic study was in 97. It was like 20,000 trips a day on the road. The reason for giving up the traffic island was because it caused too much, created too much traffic on Old Ox Road. Today, 2013 traffic trips are over 45,000. Wawa wants six traffic pumps. My parents requested the exact same zoning that Wawa is asking for, and they had to give up all these by right things, the same things that Wawa seems to be getting in their have been offered. I only came here today because I just realized the other day that that this was going on. I didn't think I had to follow the board. You guys do a pretty good job most of the time. But somebody needs to look at the zoning of the other properties and the proffers and the procedures. You know, we're not afraid of competition. Bring it on, okay? I own a CarQuest store, been bought by Advance. How many Advance stores are there in the area? I compete with them every day, and we compete well with them.
Thank you, sir. You know?
But we need a level playing field. I respectfully impose that I have no problem with the Wawa as long as they get the same requirements for their business as we have for the same business across the street.
Thank you, Mr. Chandler. Concluding speaker will be Woodrow Turner.
Good evening, Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Hemstreet. My name is Mr. Brown. My name is Woody Turner, the Turner Law Firm. I represent the Foster Enterprise family and appreciate the attention that the board has given to this application and their concerns. I don't want to belabor this. I'd like to be able to talk about how we could get to a win-win for everyone on this, as I know most of you would like to do, and I'm not sure that's going to be possible. Well, let me just point out that we still see very serious deficiencies in this application. The newspaper notice revised has frankly not corrected, at least in my opinion and our firm's opinion, the deficiencies that we've already brought to the attention of the board. The definition of what a principal use is really critical to this, and the only way that I can determine that you could reach the conclusion that's been reached by the county staff, it would be to ignore the plainly worded definition of principal use. And I'm going to waste a little bit of my time here and read it. A principal use is defined as, quote, the primary use and chief purpose for which a lot or the main building thereon is designed, maintained, or intended, and for which it may or may not be used or occupied or maintained. And I would submit with respect to the applicant's proposal, neither the lot nor the main building is designed, arranged, or intended to sell gas as the primary use and chief purpose. The main building on the lot is 5,333 square feet, and it's a convenience store. And there's nothing in the record that supports the idea that sale of gas is the primary use. I'll turn for a second. I have very little time to say this, but it would be great if we could have found a win-win for everybody. Here, the county has been set up so that there will be winners and losers. And unfortunately, when there is an oversupply, and unfortunately also only one member of the staff picked this up, reported it, and then it got ignored. When there's an oversupply in the market, a new entrant to the market doesn't create new demand. It merely takes a piece of property and rearranges the existing tax base. It's uncontested from the information that we've provided that there will be very little new revenue because most of the revenue is going to come from the existing uses because the supply is much more than the demand, clearly defined and should have been taken into consideration, and I hope you will take it into consideration with your vote.
Thank you.
And my time's up?
Well, yes, sir, if you would like to wrap up, Mr. Turner.
All right. I will wrap up by simply saying that we would recommend and request that the board go along with what the staff has actually represented and recommended, and to correct the previous speaker, the staff is recommending denial, and we would recommend to the board that it follow its staff's advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner was our concluding speaker, and this is in the Broadrun District. So with that, I am going to move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules. Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Bona. Discussion on suspension? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That motion, can I get the noes, hands? Please? No. Okay, so that motion will fail. 4-4 for suspension of the rules, and I will move for an alternative motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors forward SZRTD 2012-0008 and SPEX 2012-0038 Wawa Old Ox Road to the December 3rd, 2014 Board of Supervisors meeting for action.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Just briefly in opening, I do want to thank Wawa for their patience. I also want to thank the Fosters and their representatives for keeping us certainly educated on this item. I know this issue, and I've taken meetings with both sides of this issue. Just something that I was thinking about when Supervisor Delgadio was discussing. Staff doesn't recommend this application because, yes, the comprehensive plan envisions four-story office use at this site. As we all well know, we're not comparing a office space that's four stories to a Wawa. We're comparing a Wawa to nothing because there is no market for four-story office space in this area anytime in the near future. I do want to thank Wawa for their cooperation in working with the county and getting this application finalized. I appreciate their investment in Loudoun County, and I hope this application doesn't represent any hesitancy to invest in Loudoun County in the future, and I fear that may be the case. The proposed automobile service station will have a positive fiscal impact on the Route 28 taxing district tax base and potentially a positive fiscal impact on Loudoun County's gas revenue tax. The automobile service station use as a proposed in this application meets several general Route 28 corridor design policies of the revised general plan, including the provision of high quality design and materials, landscaping, screening, and pedestrian and bicycle facilities. The application is consistent with the countywide transportation plan in that it will provide dedication of public right-of-way, a shared access point on Old Ox Road for multiple properties, pedestrian facilities at Old Ox Road. Furthermore, transportation impacts of the proposed use will be mitigated in that the use may not be established until the applicant or others have installed a traffic signal at Old Ox Road and Oak Grove Road, improved Old Ox Road to four lanes with pedestrian facilities, and lengthened the Old Ox Road eastbound to one left turn lane. Again, with my remaining minutes, I do certainly appreciate the argument that this will potentially take away business from the existing service station that's there down the road at the Exxon. That is not a compelling reason to not support this application. I understand maybe the suspension is not being supported, maybe for procedural reasons, but again, this is a positive impact to the county, and I encourage my colleagues to be supportive when this comes back December 3rd, assuming this passes. Supervisor Bona.
Yes, thank you. I understand the vision for this area. My vision's to be 6'9" and play in the National Basketball Association, okay? I just don't see that happening anytime soon, and I don't see office space happening here. Look at the adjacent properties and what's on them. And this is only 3 acres. It's only 3 acres. How much four-story office space can we put here? And this creates a positive economic effect. I've met with both parties as well. I will correct one thing said. There is no oversupply. And Supervisor Turner can go into this because he and I went through the numbers the other day, and I'll let him do the numbers. But the fact is, per capita, the number of gas pumps in Loudoun County is significantly lower than all neighboring jurisdictions in Northern Virginia, in one case by 70%. So to say there's oversupply is just not accurate at all. I do think this is a good use. It might be an interim use. Maybe that interim use is 20 or 50 years. I don't know. We have a nursery on Route 7 that's an interim use and has been for 30 years, and we just approved another 20 years because of the same exact issue, and that is that we aren't going to be able to build Class A office space in that area at this time, given the marketplace. We know what that marketplace is for it. So if we can create some revenue with a good, solid business, that's something we need to do, and I will be supporting this at the December 3rd meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Reed.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time that you've put into this. This has been very long and difficult. I just want to speak out, since we seem to be discussing the merits here, that the concern for me is traffic, and that was a concern of my planning commissioner who voted against this. You have to realize there's going to be a future community built nearby. There's going to be Oak Grove Road will be improved. However, as we've seen with a lot of low-cost gas stations, you will see tremendous lines. You've seen this at Costco in Leesburg. You've seen it at the Costco in Sterling. There are several other places, and they have long lines, and there's going to be a lot of people stopping there for coffee and for donuts in the morning, and it's going to create some traffic problems. I urge you to read the town of Herndon's letter. So competition should not, you're right, we should not be voting on this based on whether somebody wants or does not want competition. But you heard one gentleman speak tonight, I forget the gentleman's name, who said that when he tried to get a station approved, he didn't have the ability to put to do these many pumps, and he didn't have the ability to, and you look here, the pump canopy doesn't meet our policies, and that's why staff is voting against it. So I would urge my colleagues to look at those facets here, because, frankly, I think that that needs to be looked at as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Supervisor Letourneau.
Yeah, I'll address that gas station issue in a second. Just a question for staff. Are you aware of another gas station in this immediate area that is moving forward?
We had a pre-application meeting several months ago for a sheets closer to Route 28 and 606.
Okay.
But we have not received an application.
Would that application?
Actually, I believe it is permitted to be a by right.
I was about to say, is that particular one a by right, or does that require legislation?
I think it is, so it wouldn't come through.
It wouldn't go through
planning the office. We'd have to check to see if a site plan might be filed or something.
Okay. Well, so I think some of these issues are going to probably occur regardless, at least related to the volume occurring in that area. Just with relation to the competition issue, and I understand that's not really the primary issue the board is considering, but it's at least an interesting discussion. I was interested why our gas prices seem to be higher than other jurisdictions, particularly right now when things are going down. And I work in the energy industry, so I understand things a little bit. But still, it didn't make sense to me that other jurisdictions immediately around us were seeing depressed prices, and we weren't. And one of the analysis that Management Financial Services did for us, which was shocking to me, was that we have the lowest number of service stations per adult resident of anybody except Arlington, which is very transit dependent. And it's by a lot. Prince William County has 46% more stations. Fairfax County has 19% more per capita. And Stafford County has 74% more. We would need to add 55 new gas stations just to get to the same per capita ratio that Fairfax County has, which is it's just very interesting. Now, obviously, there are neighborhood differences and all that, so I'm not necessarily saying this is entirely applicable to this discussion, but we are seeing a lot of gas stations starting to come in, both those that require legislative approval and those that are by right. And I think that this statistic speaks to that, the fact that there is demand for it. And given the airport, we will see, obviously, some additional activity around the airport because we have travelers. But the primary issue that staff is concerned about is the 28 corridor policy. And I think, as you saw earlier tonight with One Loudoun, I can sometimes be a stickler for things, but the 28 corridor policy in this instance, to me, really is not going to be achievable anytime soon. And that's kind of what the application comes down to in terms of at least the staff objection. So I'm having a hard time voting against the application because it isn't a four-story office building, because I don't see that as a viable use on this site at this time.
Supervisor Clark?
Thanks, sir. And for me, I mean, we keep having this same issue related to a number of different applications, and it's the issue of needing to have the right thing at the right place at the right time. We seem to struggle with that with this county. We do have a tremendous deficit of gas stations throughout the county, huge holes, a number of different areas where there's not a gas station for many miles, and with tremendous existing residential units and volume of traffic. But yet you can go to other parts of the county and it seems like every block there's a gas station. And then we have new gas station folks, wonderful Wawa, frequent your places throughout the country when I'm traveling, and others that want to go, once again, gravitate to the same area where there's pre-existing stations. I would love for you guys to go to areas where we have these holes. And this is, we're talking even in our suburban policy area. So, I am so hopeful that as we go forward, no matter what happens with respect to this application, that economic development, planning department, message can get out that we need distributed services to be more where the people are so they don't have to go for miles seeking these things out. You know, a simple convenience store, many thousands of homes in the Dulles South area, Dulles North area, they have to drive forever to find these things. So that's my big issue. We have enough gas stations over there, service stations over on 606.
Supervisor Delgadio.
Thank you. I want to echo Supervisor Clark's closing comment. There are too many gas stations on Route 606. I brought up the staff objections because I wanted to appeal to the macroeconomic side of my macroeconomic commerce guys here. And let's look, let's talk about self-interest here. You know, I did have a sandwich today at Wawa's out by Triangle, and that place was packed, and I would say most of the people there were on the line to get the sandwiches. The sandwiches are fantastic. It's a great restaurant. But that is really the primary purpose of Wawa's. That's the marketing. That's the mass marketing. All that happens to be a gas station there, too, you know, a couple of pumps. Sure, there are people getting gas, but frankly, that line today, 100%, for all those people there, I got the turkey sandwich with barbecue sauce. So I'm not going to vote for this tonight. There are too many gas stations at that location. And, you know, I get lost in Ashburn a lot, and a Wawa's would not be looking good out there. I know that. I made that joke for the supervisor there. Or Dulles. I mean, I would drive for miles on 606 without a gas station. There might be one gas station between Route 28 and Route 50, you know, that I could find. So, the sandwiches are lousy at those other places. So Wawa's needed in Loudoun County. There's no question that there's only a matter of time before a Wawa comes here. We heard, of course, we've got all these other chains, but I just think this spot is going to be a disaster. The town of Herndon, which we just had some peace with a moment ago, earlier in the agenda at the very beginning of the evening, we're going to close the evening with war because they are really crazy. They've got the studies. They've got the paperwork. They've got the information that we obviously aren't going to, some of us don't, are not partial to. I think that the traffic issue for the food, again, is what we're going to be putting on 606 right there and with gas stations right there. You know, let me close with this. You mentioned earlier about how we have to be friendly to some of the customers that we have here in our county, and we want to be friendly to the newcomer. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I have voted with you guys in executive session and on the public record to retain some of our people. So I appeal to you on the matter of retention. We don't want to make the people who have been here a long time at that location, and yes, it's in your district, my colleague, but we all have these people that live in our districts that have been here for years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and we're not, you know, we're doing what we can as a board to get the big guys the incentives, and obviously, you know, I was partial to some of the bigger developer that was here with One Loudoun, and so we're, as a board, we got to take care of the little guys that have been here for 30 or 40 years, too.
No. Supervisor Williams.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that the critical action date is today, so the applicant would need to agree to extend the deadline if you send it to the business meeting.
Well, you know, and I just want to say this for the applicant. I'm pretty confident we could have suspended the rules if Chairman York was here right now in due reconsideration. And if any of my colleagues want to hit their light right now and potentially consider, knowing that the action date is tonight, I would be very grateful. Supervisor Reed.
I will vote for reconsideration. Move for reconsideration of the suspension.
We'll still need a supermajority if that's right, Mr. Brown. That would be six of eight of us.
The motion he's proposing would be a motion to reconsider the motion to suspend. So first you'd have to vote on the motion to reconsider, which does not require six votes. If that passes, then the motion to reconsider, a motion to suspend would be back on the table, and that would require six votes.
So it's not a majority of those.
Corey.
Supervisor Delgado.
A motion to reconsider can be made by the prevailing side. The motion to suspend was, did he vote yes,
he voted no on suspension.
So he was not on the prevailing side, Mr. Chairman. He cannot make that motion to reconsider.
He was on the prevailing side. Mr. Delgado, excuse me. He was on the prevailing side because there was not a supermajority on the motion to suspend. So he was on the winning side of that vote.
The winning side was
denying suspension.
I see.
Okay. So with that, and again, I don't even know even with Supervisor Reed if that gives us six, but I will let Supervisor Reed request his motion for reconsideration and see if we get a second and go there. Mr. Reed, please.
I would like to move to reconsideration the motion to suspend the
motion rules. Motion for reconsideration has been made and seconded by Supervisor Bona. Discussion on the reconsideration. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion will pass 5-3. All right, this is going to be, this is not going to change anything, I'm afraid. But, good. Sorry, now, right now, we have basically back to the motion for suspension, which has been reconsidered and approved 5-3 with Supervisors Letourneau, Clark, and Delgadio opposed, and Chairman York absent for the vote.
Point of order. Mr. Brown, supermajority when there's eight present?
A motion to suspend requires a majority of the board. Of the board. It takes six.
It takes six. Right. So it didn't pass.
No, that was a majority of the membership.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So, yes, Mr. Brown, please. We'll take a moment.
Mr. Chairman, while they're discussing, would we have an opportunity to speak to the idea of the suspension? Or should we wait?
Well, I think once we make the motion for suspension and put that back on the table, there'll be another opportunity for debate.
Okay.
Supervisor Williams, do we have the opportunity to for a rebuttal since we did not give a full presentation and take our time?
Not while we're in debate, Ms. Right. Weiss, but I'm sure if anybody has questions during their time, once a motion comes on the table, certainly they can use their time to ask questions of the applicant, if that's okay.
Thank you.
And someone could give you a softball there, maybe to, if you needed to say anything to put on the table. Mr. Brown, should we take five? Or are you going to be with us in the next moment or so?
We're close.
Mr. Hempstreet, I think, I mean, according to the rules of order that I have in front of me, two-thirds, which is what the rules require.
Two-thirds is still going to be six with eight people.
Okay. So with that, and I do not, yes, Mr. Reed?
I would still like to speak to the motion to suspend.
Well, there's no motion on the table.
Okay.
And basically the
that's passed.
That passed. That passed 5-3-1.
So the motion to suspend is back on the table as a result of passing the motion to reconsider.
So motion for suspension is back on the table and active. Supervisor Reed, would you like to comment?
Folks, I'm not going to support the application, but we might as well at least vote. I mean, what is the point of belaboring this to the next meeting? So I would urge for one of my colleagues on the end of the dais to support suspension. And so we can at least have an up or down vote. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. I know that some people don't like suspension. I didn't like it on One Loudoun because we're dealing with 600 homes, but we're dealing with a different situation here. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Boner?
Yes, I appreciate what Supervisor Reed offered. But given Chairman York isn't here, I don't want the vote to occur with eight of us. That could result in a 4-4 tie. Therefore, I'm going to vote against suspension. Thank you.
Supervisor Volpe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To be honest, this evening is disconcerting for me in the fact that we've already had a public hearing on this application. Folks have already come and spoken. You know, to be sitting here tonight and some of the questions that have been asked when the folks have already done a presentation for us. You know, this is not a normal circumstance when you're asking to suspend the rules, because they have already been here for a public hearing. This is their second public hearing. And I am disconcerted that this is the first impression that we are giving these folks. And I apologize, because this is not the normal process that we go through here in the county when we're working with businesses. It's a shame. I hope that this could pass this evening so these folks could go and move forward. I think everybody in this room is fully aware that if this waits till December 3rd, it will pass. So to make folks wait is not justifiable in my mind. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to request the roll call.
Supervisor Delgadio?
Yes, I have no objection to the roll call vote. I wasn't objecting to that. I would like to know if this does not leave this boardroom tonight, if there is a no vote to send it to the December meeting, I would like to know what happens. Mr. Brown, may I direct the answer?
Could you state your question again? I'm not sure I'm following what you're saying.
This board continues to be deadlocked on this issue as a matter of principle and as a matter of fact. And it doesn't go out of here, out of tonight. We don't send it to a board meeting. What happens to it? Since the effective date is tonight, the effective date on this, it says November 12th, critical action date, November 12th.
The critical action date is the date by which we are directed, the board is directed to act by statute and by our ordinance. If the action does not occur, there could be a cause of action, I think, on behalf of the applicant, but it does not rob you of the right to act at a later time. The time limit is not mandatory, it is simply directory, and I have recently gotten a opinion from the circuit court to that effect, so I feel confident about that. So you could send it to December 3rd without the consent of the applicant. It would be up to the applicant to decide if they wanted to take some action or not. If no action is taken and we don't get dragged into court, then on December 3rd, and if you act on it and pass it at that time, that action is valid.
Thank you. That's helpful. Now, what I'm asking is, suppose the motion does not pass.
For suspension.
No. To send it to a board meeting, to send it to land use, to take any action on it, what is the status of this application if there are no votes, if there's no majority of these board members present?
If your question is, what if the board takes no action at all, then the applicant is left with the decision of whether or not to file a suit against you to make you act or to do nothing.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, that's where I'm headed.
Okay. Well, the reality is, what would happen, Mr. Brown, is that if we were deadlocked, we would make a motion to forward it to the business meeting, and that would get support. So it would ultimately go to the December 3rd business meeting anyway. But I wouldn't assume, Mr. Delgadio, that there's going to be deadlock on a motion to send us to a business meeting. Supervisor Letourneau?
No, there's not going to be deadlock on a motion to send to the business meeting. And I would hope that the applicant would agree to a timeline extension, like many, many applicants, including several, have before us, so that the board can take action. I have stated publicly and been consistent throughout my term that, when there is significant opposition to an application, I don't like to suspend the rules, and I don't vote to suspend the rules at a public hearing because of the Board of Supervisors' rules of order. I understand some wish those weren't the rules of order, but those are the rules of order. And action, there's a reason it's called the business meeting, is for the board to conduct business. A public hearing is for a board to explore issues and hear from the public. And I have that delineation. I understand we've had this debate before. People disagree with me. That's my interpretation of what our role is. And so that's why I did not support suspending the rules. That does not foretell my vote on the final application. So I hope that the applicant would accept a timeline extension and we can do what we do with many applicants and get moving on to the next business meeting.
And I would just offer that we have had, this is their second public hearing. Okay. Supervisor Reed? Good. I'm going to go ahead and ask for a roll call vote on the motion to suspend, but is the applicant amenable to a timeline extension to December 3rd if we need to go there?
Yes, reluctantly. And
I apologize.
If I may make a just
please,
a statement.
Go ahead, Ms. Please.
You're sending a really strong message to a new company that wants to locate in Loudoun County. A lot of people have said the competition is out there. There's too many stations. Well, how do you determine how many stations are too much? And there's been a number of comments that you have a lot of opposition. The opposition has been the competition. The support is coming from a number of people that have written in emails and messages of support. So I don't want to belabor the point. I know you're tired, but I just did want to respond to some of those comments. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree. Roll call vote on the motion to suspend. Supervisor Delgadio?
No.
No. Supervisor Clark?
No.
No. Supervisor Letourneau?
No.
No. I am a yes. Supervisor Bona?
Yes.
Supervisor Higgins? Supervisor Volpe?
Yes.
Supervisor Reed?
Yes.
Okay. Motion to suspend will fail. 5-3 with Supervisors Clark, Letourneau, and Delgadio opposed to the vote, opposed to the motion, and Chairman York absent the vote. The alternative motion I will put on the table now will be to move that the Board of Supervisors Ford ZRTD 2012-0008 and SPEX 2012-0038, Wawa Old Ox Road to the December 3rd, 2014 Board of Supervisors Business Meeting for action.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
That motion will pass. 7-1-1 with Supervisor Delgadio opposed and Chairman York absent for the vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
This public meeting will be adjourned. Thank you. Will be adjourned. Thank you. This public meeting.